other. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back live here, almost late, because every time I'm out of the studio, I don't notice till right before I go on air, things get changed in here. So lots of tinkering and changing settings and unplugging things and plugging other things in. So I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I walked in here about 2 minutes before airtime. I have got to learn to get in the studio earlier than that and make sure there's not been chicanery going on with the gremlins that inhabit my office. Okay, we have a very important broadcast lined up for you today. We are now only, what, 5-6 days out from the election. Coming up next Tuesday, that should be interesting. Steve Watson is joining us in 30 minutes on a host of issues. The British government is adding high levels of fluoride, sodium fluoride, to the milk school children drink. Because, again, they care so much about your teeth. Doesn't matter if the American Medical Association, American Dental Association, British Dental Association have said that fluoride's actually bad for children's teeth and causes fluorosis. Oh, you didn't know 2 years ago both countries officially said it was bad because all the science disproved them? They don't care. They're going to spray it on your crops. It goes right through the membrane of the fruits and vegetables and right through the cell walls. They're going to put it in your milk. They're going to, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has openly announced that they are working on, quote, flying syringes, was the headline, mosquitoes that have vaccines, because then you won't have a choice, will you? Because the government, they love you, these eugenicists, they just care so much about you. The government's so good. And they love rotting holes in the children's brains so they know how to submit better. They love robbing your intellect. They love you so much. Steve Watson joins us in 30 minutes. Then Larry Pratt on where the two presidential candidates stand on the Second Amendment. McCain wants to massively restrict the Second Amendment. Obama outright wants to ban many types of firearms and... Well, I mean, when your mommy's a Marxist and your daddy's a Maoist and you are funded by the big Rockefeller and Annenberg foundations, of course you got to disarm the slaves. And if you're against turning your guns in, you're a racist. If you're against anything Obama's going to say or do, you hate black people. Doesn't matter if the first gun laws were against blacks in this country. Doesn't matter if the first marriage licenses were for blacks. Doesn't matter if the first CPS rings kidnapping children were against blacks. Long as you put a black face on it, hey, it's good. Kidnap those black kids, do medical experiments on them all day long. Shoot them up for whatever you want. Take the public's guns because a black man can do no wrong. Mainstream media has openly been saying, you know, you're racist if you don't vote for Barack Obama. Well, let me give you a news flash. Both of them are New World Order. Both the zombie, the see-through. McCain isn't even white. He's translucent, like a gecko, but in a bad way. You look through him. Looks like a reanimated corpse, and you've got smiley-faced Obama, complete New World Order shill. He's out campaigning now in jeans and t-shirts. Wow, he's a regular guy. All about... just the surface scam. Got Richard Cook, economist, economic historian, monetary historian, popping in. And, yeah, I got a call last night from Ventura and Ventura's people about what happened with the money raising for Senator Dean Cook. I'm mixing names. Dean Barkley, I'm thinking of Richard Cook. So we'll tell you about that when we get back to it. We'll be right back.
government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Wednesday, the 29th day of October 2008. To be live here for the next 3 hours and 52 minutes. Steve Watson joining us from London, Larry Pratt joining us from Washington, D.C., Richard Cook, and before I get into all the news here, and it's very important, seems like every week stuff just gets more intense. Got a call from Ventura yesterday, missed the call. Got a call from Senator Dean Barkley, who was briefly appointed years ago, whenever Senator Wellstone died, to the Senate, who is running there in a tight race, to let us know that the listeners of this radio show pushed him over the edge. They did not have the money for the TV ads. Franken and the other creature that he's running against raised over $30 million between them, and the Dean Barkley campaign is just right behind the two main contenders with only $50,000 in the last few months raised. Because when Ventura said he wasn't going to do it, Barkley jumped in. Guess how much the listeners of this show raised, and 100% of it is going into the TV ads that start airing tomorrow, right through to Election Day. You raised $40,000 and growing in one 1-hour interview, and you're just the best people on the face of the earth, and I really appreciate that. And win, lose, or draw, we are fighting on every front. In the media wars, in the info war, in the elections, we're also fighting for election integrity. We're fighting in the courts for the Bill of Rights and Constitution. And I commend you. So I know that Ventura and Barkley, not even so much to ask for more donations, but just to come on and thank you. They're either going to be on today or tomorrow because I've been playing phone tag with them, and Barkley's trying to nail down when Ventura can come on with him. But I'm going to do about 10, 15 minutes on that and maybe keep Ventura a little bit more with some. I'm going to get him to twist his arm to tell some of the stories he privately told us because it was just so entertaining and interesting. I'm really sold on Jesse Ventura hanging out with him for 2 days. He is the strongest personality I have ever been around. I mean, he is overpowering, and he's not even trying to do it. I mean, he'll just talk your head off. You know, we can drive an hour out to Willie's place, an hour back. Just Ventura is just going 100 miles an hour with the stories he was telling and the things he was going over. I will tell you this. No, I won't tell you, because you never know what's going to happen with TV shows. I'm just going to leave it for the future. But a lot of interesting stuff going on. I'll just leave it at that. You know, it really hit me driving into work this morning just how wild and dangerous, just how volatile the upheaval is that we're witnessing right now worldwide. The markets continue to slide. Main Street has had the cash supply, the liquidity supply, the credit supply cut off to it worldwide, not just here in the U.S. The international bankers are openly announcing their world government making their move. Some polls show Barack Obama 6 points ahead. That's the highest poll. Most polls show a 3 to 4 point lead. Some polls show a 1 point lead, which is a statistical dead heat. And I've talked a lot about the science of polling. People will tend to answer a poll, at least a large portion of the public, around 40%, to what they think is politically correct. And so when you hear Barack Obama's people and others say, well, we think there's a 5 to maybe even 8 percentage points out there that are saying to pollsters they're going to vote for Barack Obama, only because they think it's the politically correct thing to do, because they don't want to be seen as racist. Now, why would people feel like they had to lie to a pollster about not being for a particular candidate just because his father was African? So that speaks more to guilt and basic cultural mind control than it does to racism. And you know where I stand on racism. Racism is tribalism. In Africa, most of the tribes hate the guys right across the river or right down the hill or over the mountain, and they're black. And if you study cultures all over the place, and look at Germania and Gaul before the Romans took it over, they were always killing each other. They were white guys, Nordics, Germanics. It's the same thing in Asia. It's humans behave the same. We are the same. And that's just the bottom line. And it's tribalism. And there is just amazing amounts of tribalism in and around both the candidates. And that's what the parties are, is the system manipulating tribalism, where you've got this camp and the other camp, and it's simulated warfare. It's what football is. You know, one uniform is red and white, and the other uniform is blue and silver, or one uniform is yellow and white, and the other uniform's brown and white. I mean, whatever. That's what those colors are about. That's what standards and flags are about. That's all about manipulating our primitive makeup. And the New World Order, they're people like us, but they have understood the scientific systems, the sociological, the psychological, the anthropological triggers to manipulate and control populations. And to beat the New World Order, we have to start thinking the way they do about society. But instead of keeping that knowledge secret and using it to control others, we need to teach everyone about how humans really operate and about how we have primitive, instinctive buttons and triggers that are being punched and levers that are being pulled. I mean, don't people want to know how the world really works, how it really operates? And the greatest trick the New World Order ever had was convincing the population that it didn't exist, or that, oh, there's no complex societies, there's no complex systems, there's no ruling elites, there's no organizational skills, there's no subterfuge, there's no influence peddling in elite organizations, and, oh, powerful people don't want power. And somehow, they convinced the American people to go to sleep and to not care and to turn loose of their destiny and just let others control it. And now we're completely overrun by a scientific worldwide dictatorship that is mopping up the last pockets of national resistance, bankrupting economies worldwide to even expand their power and control, consolidate their control. And now everything that we warned you about, all the documents we brought forward, all the guests we had on, all the information that the Liberty, Patriot, Truth Movement, Freedom Movement, whatever you want to call it, everything we brought out is now unfolding. So that's the bottom line. I don't even ask you to believe what I'm saying or what I'm stating. I'm asking you to look into it for yourself and to stop being so trusting of the system and the establishment. That's all I'm asking you to do, because through that we can turn this around. Here's the news. Australia to enforce mandatory Chinese-style internet censorship. PrisonPlanet.com from Paul Watson. And they have the official government internet, provide the connections to the internet to over half the population of Canada. It's happening. And that's only one facet. It's happening. So we need to fight for an open and free internet. But to do that, we have to let the public understand it's being shut down as we speak. Here's another one. Kurt Nemo, Infowars.com. Microsoft patents censorship bot. And the Times of London also reports on it, and it says it will go into the web and it will go into YouTube. It will go into when you're reading a website, and it will, with a program through your computer, block out words, block out phrases, block out information. This is a huge filter they put in the hubs and also in the computers. And they admit in both these articles, the InfoWars.com article and the PrisonPlanet.com article that has all the mainstream news quoted, they admit this will slow the web down even more. That's what they're going to do. They're going to throw all these filters and taxes and regulations and controls that slow down the entire web, basically ends net neutrality by itself, but then having open and, quote, free super fast on Internet 2, but they do that by restricting who can have a website or who can post content. You have to register or be on a subdomain to be on Internet 2. So we have that. We have all over the country now random bag searches on trains. First it was for terrorism. Now they say it's to fight crime. This is the type of stuff we're dealing with. I mean, we'll come back and go over all of it. Stay with us. All over the world, they are now adding fluoride to food, to processed foods, to milk. Advertise on a planetary scale from India to the United States. Fluoride water for children. The fluoride they're adding is sodium fluoride under that guise. They're actually adding a whole string of deadly chemicals. You've had the toxicologist on from the EPA. Thousands of EPA scientists a few years ago signed open letters to the Environmental Protection Agency asking them to take the fluoride out. But the system said no. And because the public is trying to avoid it, and they say that, they are now force medicating the deadly poison, the chemical weapon, into children's milk, ice cream, children's ice cream. People can make jokes about that in movies in Hollywood, but the results are the zombified, mindless population, the sluggish population. That's only one small facet of the enemy operation. Steve Watson joins us in the next segment. Then Larry Pratt, the head of Gun Owners of America, to give you the real record of Barack H. Obama on the Second Amendment versus John McCain. And he is a gun grabber par excellence, but I've got mainstream reports here now publishing findings that we've already had, but now it's finally becoming a campaign issue a little too late, that Obama says he is coming for the guns. God help us. I don't think you're going to be getting them, pal. I mean, this system is so out of control. And yeah, we're probably going to have Jesse Ventura popping in again today, talking about the campaign and thanking you for the incredible support that you gave Dean Barkley up there running for Senate. Listeners of this show, in one day, $40,000+ came in, allowing them to make the TV ad purchases, because you have to have a minimum amount to even basically get ads statewide on TV, and you did it. Imagine the two they're running against, the Republican and Democrat he's running against, have $30+ million they've spent, and Barkley is just right behind him in the polls with 37% undecided, just like Ventura was in the late 90s when he won the governorship, and this was his campaign manager then, Dean Barkley. So that is exciting there. We might actually get a good senator in there, thanks to all of you chipping in a little bit. Many hands make light work, and we are really excited about that. Later, I want to get into this Washington Post story. Metro to randomly search riders' bags. They have a poll. Do you support random bag searches in the Metro system to combat crime? And when I took the poll a few hours ago, 60+% said no. And then others had no opinion, and then another percentage of it was 20-something. I don't remember. You can go pull it up if you want. We're for it. But look at how they phrase the question. Do you support random bag searches in the metro system to combat crime? And all over the country, in Houston with the bus system, and in D.C. with the buses and the trains, the subways, and in New York, and now in L.A., they have federal teams. They have state teams, local teams. They call the federal teams Viper teams. Just Google Viper teams. Google Viper teams run checkpoints, and it'll pop up Houston, Dallas, all over the country. But it's incredible what's happening here in Texas. And imagine you're going to get on the bus or a train or the Amtrak, and there are feds there randomly searching you. See, first they train you how to be a slave in the airports. The government stages the terror attacks to sell you on this. And I'll never forget Governor Ridge on C-SPAN saying, oh, well, we're training the public and training our personnel at the airports, but this is going to go nationwide. Buses, trains, highways. We're going to build hardened checkpoints in. He was on C-SPAN for 2 hours, and my mouth was hanging up. But this was 2002, before Homeland Security even got its funding. And they're doing it. So see, now it's not even Al-Qaeda. People know that's baloney and made up. So, yeah, we're just going to fight crime, violate the Fourth Amendment. And then I have two different videos here and three separate stories. You know, they're in Newark, New Jersey. Peaceful people are marching in front of a church against gun violence. It's even a gun grabber group. And the cops come up and say, you're not allowed to march without a permit down the sidewalk. And they run over to the NBC cameraman and attack him, smash the camera and start choking him out. And the cop says on video, as the news reporter says, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? He said, I can do whatever I want. That's right. Your banker bosses can take your pension fund, too. See, that's how corruption works, corrupt cops. You can do whatever you want.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same?
You know, I've got to say something.
Will it make it
easier? People in the alternative media, most of them still don't get it, don't understand it. Even when Business Week and the Financial Times of London do.
One love.
The bankers are not pumping liquidity and capital into the markets with no effect. I keep hearing people say, oh, they're pumping money in, but it's not working.
One love, we get to share.
They're hoarding the money, as Senator Dodd said in the New York Times Sunday.
If you don't care for
it. They have shut off the money supply to Main Street to consolidate it. This is engineered. It's stated that it's engineered. And, you know, it's so important that we get that message out to the people. And we've done that on Infowars.net and PrisonPlanet.tv and all the other news sites we have, with the facts, with the evidence, with the experts, with the guest, with the top economist. This is a consolidation, a vertical integration by the New World Order. Now, we got Steve Watson for the next 30 minutes, and then Larry Pratt joins us to get into the election and massive gun control. Headline at Infowars.net, fluoride added to children's milk in schools throughout UK city. Kids now drinking poison waste product, first used as mood stimulant by Nazis. I don't know if that's, I mean, that's a good headline, but it was actually a depressant, but whatever. I guess it's all word games. Doesn't matter either way. It's right. It's being added in 42 schools throughout the city of Sheffield in the UK. And that's just where Paul lives is the reason they know about it. Steve, his brother, runs Infowars.net. He's down in London. Despite the chemical's proven link to liver and kidney damage, cancer, and the lowering of IQ. Now, here's the Yorkshire Post. Dental action targets children. So I wanted to get into this, and then massive internet censorship starting up in England, Europe, Australia. I mean, they're openly announcing it now, Chinese-style censorship. I mean, it's here. National filters. And, of course, through those filters are really snooping hubs. So we're going to be talking about that. Steve Watson, break it down for us.
Yeah, hello, Alex. How you doing? Yeah, it's been added to children's milk in 42 schools throughout Sheffield. I mean, this is going on across the country. This is just focusing in on us on one city alone. 42 schools in that city, according to this report in the Yorkshire Post, under a new strategy with a focus of preventing dental problems, which, of course, as we've covered many times, dental experts, the Dental Association, have all given warnings about excessive intake of fluoride having negative health effects with very little positive effects. According to this report, it's under a new contract that will encourage dental workers to carry out more preventive work. Added in there is the provision that fluoride is already being added to 42 to milk, children's milk in 42 primary schools in the city, which will continue on the local NHS. Is also planning to begin talks on adding more fluoride to water throughout the city.
Continue, Steve.
Okay, it says the key changes will come into force in March next year, when the current contract comes to an end. Director of Public Health Sheffield, John Green, said the current dental contract was very actively focused. But they want it to, obviously they want to carry out more of this kind of thing. If we look into what dentists have to say about fluoridation of water and milk. July 2007 review studies by the American Dental Association concluded that children under six are at risk of permanently discolored teeth due to fluoride supplements, which are given to children if they don't have fluoridated water in their area. What happens is excessive fluoride causes enamel fluorosis of the teeth, which is significant discoloration, and it's specifically has a specifically bad effect on young children as their teeth are developing. Other dentists have spoken out. For example, Dr. Hardy Lineback, head of preventive dentistry at the University of Toronto, said that mass medicating the public through the water supply was dangerous and unnecessary. He said the benefits are exaggerated. The growing evidence of overexposure from fluoridated toothpaste and many other sources, because it's not only in water and toothpaste, and as we've seen now in milk, it's been put into all kinds of things like tea, food. Anyway, in a email to McLean's, the toothpaste manufacturer, this doctor wrote, quote, "On the risk side, so many people will end up with ruined teeth, fragile bones, acute sensitivities, thyroid problems, and increased risk for cancer, all in the name of preventive dentistry."
Now let's stop right there, and we're going to keep going through the article with Steve Watson. This is another prime example of hidden in plain view. They knew in the 20s that sodium fluoride was a deadly chemical weapon that had a cumulative effect that fractured the bones, the teeth, that attacked every organ in the body, particularly glands, calcified them. Thousands of studies by the 50s. They took the toxic waste, but used the term fluoride as a whole subgroup of over 100 deadly chemicals. Lead, mercury, arsenic, just on and on and on, that they dump in your water. Now, because the public is now filtering water, and because the public instinctively knows that, and plus it tastes horrible. I mean, folks, this is not placebo or imaginary. When I was a child, I would brush my teeth. You know, my dad was a dentist, and I was really into brushing my teeth, right? And I always remember I'd feel great, and then I'd brush my teeth, and I'd have to go lay on the couch, and I'd have a horrible headache. And I remember by the time I was like 10, I started figuring out every time I brush my teeth, I just feel horrible. I just feel terrible, and I feel exhausted, and it makes me feel nauseous. And so I started learning to only use a little bit of toothpaste, and it wasn't as bad. And then Dallas water tasted like kerosene. And then the first few times I would go to a business and see Sparklets or whatever, or Zarka, I would like, man, what is this? It tastes so good. I mean, I for the first time in my life, I was drinking real water. So see, the globalists are masters, just like if they want to sterilize a herd of deer or wild pigs. That's how they're controlling some of them now in Texas. They will go to a water supply and put a chemical in it to sterilize them. Or they'll put out pellets to sterilize them that they eat. It's the same thing. They put it out into our environment like we're animals. They're the anthropologists. They're the behavioral psychologist. They study us like animals, you know, like a scientist studies microbes in a petri dish. And they are cold-bloodedly doing this. So now that we're avoiding it, they have the governments coming out and saying, well, the public's avoiding it. We'll just put it in fruits and vegetables. We'll just put it in processed foods. We'll put it in the milk. And, of course, this is only the tip of the iceberg. They're putting it in milk here. They'll have orange juice now that says fortified by nutrients and minerals. You'll read on the back, it'll say fluoride. It'll say fluoride for kids. Give your kids what they need. But there's been a revolution. A revolution of resistance against this tyranny. We have the dentist. We have the EPA scientist. We have the majority of them. You know, thousands of them a few years ago signed a letter to the EPA. This was their own scientist saying, this is deadly. This is horrible. This is, you know, giving them all the proof. And the EPA said, no, we're still going to do it. It's still going to try to force states and counties and cities and water districts to do it. So the point is, there is a revolution where scientists finally looked at this and said, my God, they knew all along. Yes, this is who runs the West. They're brain damaging you. That you should be so, you're being given a chemical lobotomy. Steve Watson.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should contextualize more about what fluoride actually is, which I did at the end of the article I wrote. It's a waste, the sodium fluoride that's put in water, etc., is a waste product of the fertilizer and aluminium industry. In the UK, it's classed under the UK Poisons Act as a Part 2 poison. It's one of the most deadly poisons there are. It was used not only by the Nazis to fluoridate water to dumb down people in concentration camps, also by the Soviets in the 50s. It was used in their water supplies to make prisoners more docile and subservient. It's 97% of Western Europe has rejected it, yet in America, 60% of the population's water is now fluoridated.
By the way, it's now about 75. The enemy, they will come into a small town and spend, you know, by small town, I saw an example in one Texas town, over 40,000, and they spent $1 million to brainwash the public. I mean, because they love you. They love your teeth. This is like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, folks. This is a big deal. Hey, cops who love the system, people that work for the government, FBI agents, it's hurting you, too. You can't ignore the facts. I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in Germany, Belgium, places like that in Europe, fluoridation has been rejected because they actually classed it as a violation of, you know, fundamental rights. Yet, in America, they're pushing towards, as you said, 75% of population's water fluoridated.
Well, let's explain that, though. Again, can the government make you take Valium? Can the government make you smoke marijuana? Can the government make you drink Jack Daniels? Can the government make you take Prozac? Can the government make you take Ritalin? Can the government make you take... No. Well, then why can they put a deadly poison in your water? Go ahead.
Exactly. It's what's forced medication. And this is why stories like the one we've highlighted here, where it's been put into children's milk, make it so insidious, because the chemical specifically affects development. So any effect it's going to have on is going to be amplified.
That's right. It causes leukemia. It causes a bunch of different types of bone cancers. And don't laugh, cops. You got a son? It's even worse in boys. It's double the kill effect on boys than it is girls. Google fluoride bone cancer. Do not laugh. hundreds of mainstream scientific reports. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, I highlighted some of them in the article. The bone cancer one was a 2005, well, this is one of them certainly, 2005 study conducted at Harvard Dental Health School, which found that fluoride in tap water directly contributed to bone cancer, in specifically in young boys. There's a link to a London Observer article from 2005, which says the new American research suggests that boys exposed to fluoride between the ages of 5 and 10 will suffer an increased rate of osteosarcoma, bone cancer, between the ages, later on, between the ages of 10 and 19. And that's just one study. There's another study.
Folks, you can love me or hate me and love Steve or hate him, but listen to me. Your family and your health is worth it. Do not roll your eyes. Start getting truly filtered water. That means reverse osmosis or the atmosphere machines or the gravity filters. But then that only gets out about 95%, but it at least reduces it a lot. You know, you need to do distilled. Listen to me. Listen to me. Just because you've done this your whole life doesn't mean you've got to keep doing it. Please. We've seen the statistics. It's worse than smoking. Go ahead.
And it's not just in water, as we've said before. It's also in foods. And perhaps the most horrific example of what it's in is baby formula. It's the powder for babies. It's being added to that, and I was reading at levels of 0.04 to 0.47 milligrams per liter.
Massive.
Which, according to studies, it's more likely that children taking that amount are going to suffer dental problems. So it completely, you know, obliterates any.
Well, benefit. That's only on the surface. See, the globalist hate it because it deforms and turns the teeth into chalk and puts spots all over them with fluorosis. And so just imagine if it's hurting the teeth, what else it's doing. And by the way, that's at higher levels than the one part per million. That is devastating. You see, with the children, they soup it up to just wreck their brains. They're just savagely. It's like beating your kid in the head with a baseball bat.
0.47, to put it into context, 0.47 milligrams per liter in this baby powder. The National Academies of Science Institute of Medicine's Food and Nutrition Board says that infants should not receive more than 0.01 milligrams per liter of fluoride a day. And in some baby formulas, it's going up to 0.4 and higher.
Now, again, the smaller amount's devastating, but they want that lobotomy, and they want it now.
And then when you actually mix the baby formula, you have to add water, and obviously that's got fluoride in it as well. So it's just compounding it.
And, God.
February 2007, the American Dental Association warned that baby formula containing fluoride mixed with fluoride water is far too excessive and leads to enamel fluorosis. And also, the Centers for Disease Control estimated that around 33% of children in America aged 12 to 15 have got mild forms of fluorosis now.
Yeah, and they're also brain-damaged zombies. God, yeah. They've devastated us. Can you think of, Steve, a more wicked plan, a more wicked operation? I mean, it's so cold-blooded to do this to children. Oh, think what else they're doing to us, ladies and gentlemen, the GMO food, all of it. I mean, we are in Armageddon right now. We are being devastated right now with military attacks. This is military.
I mean, there's a lot of propaganda to go along with it as well. Recently, Paul wrote an article about a coloring book that was issued by the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development, a government agency, which basically promoted fluoride toothpaste and used a character that they called Buddy Brush to push the use of fluoride toothpaste, you know, despite the fact that all these studies are showing it's linked to bone cancer, etc., liver, kidney damage.
They are are attacking your children. Stay there, Steve. They are viciously savaging them. They are attacking your children. What are you going to do about it? Infowars.net. Get it right now. Fluoride added to children's milk in schools.
Way up north.
To Alaska.
Way up north.
To Alaska.
Steve Watson.
To Alaska. Go north.
When you come face to face with something so monstrous, so duplicitous, so orchestrated, I mean, it's a fact.
Big Sam left.
The sodium fluoride is targeting our children. The government's targeting the children with it. The corporations are in league. You look at all these brain-damaged oafs everywhere. And, you know, so many of them have been drinking it so long, they're like, I like the fluoride. I think it's good. I mean, it's a fact the Soviets and the Nazis used it. Our government learned about it from them, put it in the water. And, well, just closing thoughts on this, because now we're not drinking the water, so they're spraying it on crops as a, quote, pesticide. Then it goes right through the membranes of the plants, right into their cell walls. They're putting it in the food. They're putting it in the formula. And you see these mothers, you know, soccer moms, all of them. Oh, I give my baby formula. We've caught the UN doing all sorts of stuff to baby formula over and over again. It's just, I can't believe it's going on, and it's just going to get worse, Steve.
Well, I mean, all we can do is keep trying to expose it as best we can. And, you know, focus on the... just get the information out and focus on the facts that we can present to people, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things we haven't talked about today that people should go and find out in this article that I've written. The other effects that it has, such as, you know, lowering IQ, thyroid problems, liver and kidney damage in young children. Oh. I mean, we just got to keep trying to get the facts out and hope that, you know, the tide of information will become too great.
Well, if there was any doubt, Steve Watson, of just how evil these global architects are, these eugenicists, look at it. Look at what they do just with this.
Yeah, I mean, then you've got, talking about the milk, you've got all kinds of things in there. We've written about the bovine growth hormones, which also have been directly linked with cancer, and that's been added into milk, so it's just compounded. I mean, we wrote an article about, the article I mentioned before was the propaganda one with Buddy Brush. That also encouraged, at the same time as fluoride toothpaste, the other thing it encouraged was milk, drinking milk for children. And that's actually, the bovine growth hormone is actually, I think it's banned by the EU, but it's readily pumped into cows in America to make them, you know, keep producing milk all year round, and that's going into the milk. That's being drunk in, you know, 49 states. One-third of all cattle are injected with it.
And that's why the girls are 6'3" and the guys are 6'8" now. I mean, you'll see parents all over the place who are little, and their kids are like giants.
I mean, it's just people who've just got to, you know, stop thinking about the pointless things that they're seeing on the nightly news and start researching for themselves.
Huh.
And all we can do is get the information out and help them do that.
Well, folks have got the tools with the great articles. I mean, every statement you make is backed up by mainline studies up on Infowars.net. Right now, get the story, fluoride added to children's milk in schools throughout UK City. It's there in the News and Focus area. Steve, we got Larry Pratt coming up, and let's get him lined up on ISDN line in the next few minutes. But do 5 more minutes with us. I want to get your take on the open Chinese-style censorship that they're pushing in Canada, Australia, now the UK, and even here in the U.S. I mean, they're openly announcing that. So we can't be here warning the public. I mean, the mainstream media is falling apart. They've been caught lying so much. So what are they trying to do? Shut the web down. Stay with us.
other. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Now into the second hour of this worldwide transmission against tyranny in defense of liberty. We're here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Only 5-6 days until the election next Tuesday. Well, let me count them down. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, about 6 days till the election. And we are talking to Steve Watson from England, an incredible story he put together about how they're not going to put, or already putting, deadly sodium fluoride and other things in children's milk in public schools and in the formula at levels even higher than the 1 parts per million. 4 parts per million, just devastating, devastating. The government doesn't care about you. In fact, they hate you. They're a bunch of eugenicists. Larry Pratt's coming up to get into Barack Obama's gun control and give us a breakdown on what we're facing on that front. And it is serious, but McCain's bad as well. We'll get his analysis of the head of Gun Owners of America on both fronts there. The 4 minutes we've got left, Steve Watson. Another story by Paul Watson. Australia to enforce mandatory Chinese-style internet censorship. And he has the mainstream articles and the bill here. And it looks like it's about to pass. Criminalize all internet file sharing. Just doesn't matter if it's a copyright infringement or not. Makes illegal linking other websites. It just goes on and on. They will filter everything that comes into the country. And they openly say it's to shut down hateful ideology. So YouTube starting to censor. They're censoring here. All of this is happening, Steve.
Yes, too. As they describe it, it will be a universal national filter. It will block websites deemed to be controversial, part of the wider agenda to regulate the internet. It's just a continuation of what we've seen in this country, in America. We've reported several times that, you know, federally funded science departments want to scrap the internet and start it again because it's too free for them. They can't track things well enough. They can't put restrictions on it, so they want to scrap it and start an internet too. Seen the same thing in Europe, and talk of licensing, like television services. Of course, if your content is deemed to be too controversial, you won't be granted a license, therefore you won't be able to have a website on the new internet. I've seen new Wi-Fi areas across the US, outdoor Wi-Fi areas that contain strong filters that will filter out political websites that are deemed to be offensive.
They're already doing it to Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com.
Yeah, we've seen that in the UK, in train stations, public libraries, hospitals, anywhere public like that. We've had stories of just our websites being filtered out, but not just our websites, I should say, but others, like even mildly political ones, like Think Progress, sites like that. So it's, to say that it's just going on in China is obviously blatantly false.
And they're incrementally doing this because you have a criminal world government that can't have the people exposing them. Tony Blair, before he left, gave a speech saying we've got to shut down the web. It's destroyed our capability to set up a new world order.
That's right.
So, folks, you better use it while you've still got it. I mean, we're talking about even maybe a few months in England and Europe and Australia. I mean, this is happening everywhere, folks, because we're hurting them badly right now. The fact that we can post a video and in a month, 5 million people conservatively can watch it, you know, with one of my films or other films, tens of millions over 6 months, you know, 100 million in a couple years. I mean, that's devastating them. They've got to shut us down.
Yep. Blair said it was too feral.
Too feral was the quote. It was too wild and was destroying trust in the government. Well, because the government's a pack of lying criminals. Steve Watson at Infowars.net, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
Folks, we are fighting on so many fronts. I mean, they're trying to ban protests, demonstrations, filming police, shutting down the web. It's just coming after the Second Amendment. I mean, we're being hit from every angle here. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We have the head honcho, the director of Gun Owners of America, the second largest gun rights group in the country, and really the biggest, because it's the only large real organization that we have, Larry Pratt. And he's here for the next 40 minutes or so to give us a detailed breakdown of Barack Obama's views on the Second Amendment, his statements, his record, what the facts are versus John McCain. Now, both men are vehemently anti-self-defense, vehemently anti-Second Amendment. Both men are open border promoting, New World Order loving, openly calling for it. But Barack Obama has said things that go beyond John McCain. And so we're just giving you the facts. This should have been a much bigger election issue. It hasn't been. I knew Obama was anti-gun, but the last month I really ferreted out his actual quotes and video clips and his votes in Illinois and in the U.S. Senate. He is the most anti-gun candidate for president I believe I've ever seen. Larry Pratt, is that an accurate statement?
Alas, it is accurate. We don't have a very exciting choice between those two candidates. McCain has been... Well, let's look at it this way. When I was in school, you get anything below a 60 as a rule. Sometimes it was 65. You got an F. Now, McCain's F came at about a 25%. So 25% of the time he did vote right. And but probably most significantly, in the past, he voted against the semi-auto ban, the Clinton gun ban. But a lot of other things he's been very bad on, and a spokesman for the other side. And so you can't take that away from the guy's record. And that's why when he first came to Congress, we'd given him a C, C minus. We'd moved him down to an F. Frankly, this year we've been willing to move him back to a C minus, basically because he joined with almost a majority of the Senate urging a vote on the D.C. measure, which would have uprooted most of the D.C. gun control law that's still on the books after the Supreme Court ruling. And there was a game being played there, and we can talk about that in a minute if you want. Not in the Senate, but in the House. Significantly chose Sarah Palin as a vice president, somebody that amazed me because she's very much more conservative than is he, and especially on guns. She fired a police chief because he was opposing the now law on concealed carry in Alaska, which says you truly have a right to carry. You want to put one in your purse or in your pocket, then you just do it. You don't need a permit.
Vermont style.
And in a way, it's even more clever than Vermont, because if you want reciprocity and you want to travel to the lower 48, you can get a permit. So that you would have that to show and have reciprocity in other states. But when you're in Alaska, if you and I go to Alaska, put that piece in our piece of luggage, get to the parking lot, get it out, put it in our purse or our pocket, we're good to go. Perfectly legal.
You know, that's a key thing you just brought up. Folks that grew up in cities, never grew up on farms or ranches, or were never in the military, they see TV shows where it's all based in New York, and you get caught with a gun, you go to jail. So when a carpet cleaner's in your house in Texas from New York or something, they will call the cops on you if they see a gun case, because they think guns are illegal. That's how ignorant a lot of the public are. It's the same thing. People don't know that you can check firearms in your luggage. You just got to tell them. And I've told the public before, and they get emails saying I'm a liar.
Well, I can assure you that you're absolutely on the money, and if you go to the TSA website, they'll even give you all the little nitty-gritty regulations. They have this interesting notion that you have to have the ammunition, and there's only a certain amount, and it has to be in a factory-type container, either the original box or one of those plastic ones that some people might have. And it can't be, say, in the carrying case that you might have the gun in. I guess the assumption is that the bullets are going to migrate from the box over into that magazine-less firearm that you're carrying, and somehow One of them's going to get into that chamber, and sure enough, it's going to go off. So anyway, given that, you show them that the gun is empty, and you're good to go. And I can tell you that every airline I've had any experience with, it used to be you'd kind of hear them gasp when you, right after that you had to start doing it, because for a long time you didn't even have to declare the gun. You're just supposed to have it unloaded, which makes sense, because if they're throwing it around like that.
Yeah, this is all part of restricting the Second Amendment, teaching the public it's taboo, it's illegal, it's like a porno shop or something. You got to put it in a black bag. No, this is our Second Amendment,
absolutely.
And you're not going to use peer pressure and mind control and political correctness to engineer us out of it. But I don't want to spend all day on that, Larry. I'm sorry made you digress. Let's get into Barack Obama.
I'm glad you did, because educating people on exercising a right is an important thing. If we don't exercise it, surely we will lose it.
Well, that's like police everywhere now saying you don't have a right to march or protest or even hand out flyers.
Right.
And, they're losing lawsuits everywhere, and they're having to back off. So people keep exercising it. Don't let them have a chilling effect. But let's get into Barack Obama's real...
One more thing on Mrs. Palin, because I think she is the real deal, certainly on guns. A talk show host up there is a real friend of Gun Owners of America, Michael Dukes, has had the governor on a number of times and had their schedules not changed for some reason. They were planning to go machine gun shooting this fall, and he called her one time several months ago, before she was a gleam in McCain's eye.
Yeah.
And he said, look, we've got some dealers up here that live outside the incorporated area of Fairbanks. So the state police have jurisdiction on signing off on machine gun transfers. And they can't even get these guys to sign off on one dealer selling a gun to another dealer. And so she said, I'll get right on it. We'll get back to you. 2 days later, the public safety commissioner called him and said, you should have no more problems from here on out.
So she really is pro-gun.
She really is pro-gun. She doesn't just shoot animals. I mean, Kerry went hunting, so-called, 4 years ago. And so that was the point of my discussion with Dukes. I said, okay, so Kerry goes hunting. I've seen her with a dead caribou. Fine. What is she really like on the gun issue? And there's no question. She has, she's demonstrated executive experience, the very thing she said to not have in their dreams. If this lady ever became president, I got a short list for her that I could have her work on here in town, because she seemed to do a pretty good job up in Juneau. Anyway.
Okay, so that's where McCain is.
Yeah.
He's a gun grabber, but a C.
Yeah,
C-minus instead of an F. Now, let's get into Barack Obama.
Barack Obama has been unrelenting. Now, some of his rhetoric has been tricky, but, he's it's like drilling. Well, we'll take a look at it. Hey, well, sure, you'll take a look at it. And so he's not even willing to commit on that. On the Second Amendment being protecting an individual right, he said, I think the D.C. gun ban is just fine. After the decision, he said he agreed with it, but you see what he's looking at is the fact that the decision was narrow. There's plenty of areas where they can stick it to us.
No, I think the decision is covert. I mean, we're reading it. You're the expert. You guys had a brief in the court. I mean, in a way, it says it's a right, but then it says, but we can kind of restrict it and do this, this, and that. So it really opens the door.
Well, there was some dicta, which is not in the ruling itself, which was troubling. I won't argue with that at all.
But judges source dicta in their rulings.
Yes, it all adds up. You're right. But the fact is that on the two things that were actually before the court, they ruled right, and they ruled from the Constitution and its language, and they didn't set up one of these phony judicial standards of review.
And let's not forget Barack Obama's weird statement about these scared people clutching their guns.
Well, actually, we have a T-shirt that we've been selling right well. It says on the back, I'm a bitter clinger, and it's got a couple of hands, one grabbing a Holy Bible, and the other clinging a 45 handgun. And
I love it.
So I'm sure you've mentioned that Obama, unawares that he was being recorded, made that statement to some ultra-liberal fat cats in San Francisco.
Well, all those ultra-liberal fat cats cling on to their bodyguards and their guns, and Obama sure loves the Secret Service with their guns.
But he does. None of those folks cling on to the Bible, so I guess we have a parting of the ways right away. And, of course, they don't want us clinging to guns, because that's really the difference. People like us can't be trusted with guns. Only they and their hired bodyguards.
Only the re-educators, yeah.
Only the re-educators. They're the only ones that have it right. So in the state Senate, Obama had an opportunity to show where he really is. There was a guy by the name of Haley DeMar, lives in Wilmette, which is a little suburb right across the street from Chicago. You can't hardly tell you're leaving one and going to the other.
Suburb.
Definitely a suburb. Had a gun ban until after the Supreme Court decision, and then they dropped their ban because they didn't want the expense of litigating, because they were going to be sued, because it was identical in principle and functioning to the D.C. and Chicago gun ban, a licensing scheme that said you can have a gun, but not really. And so they dropped it, but while they had it, this restaurant owner, living in a nice neighborhood, not exactly a gangbanger, had a gun where the registration had expired. So that made the gun illegal. It was a non-registered gun. Horror. And two nights in a row, his home was invaded. The first night, the guy was in and out, got the keys to his SUV, and stole that. The next night, the guy commutes now in the stolen SUV, and he's deep inside the house. DeMar gets his gun out of his safe, which is a heck of a place to keep your self-defense gun, and shot the guy a couple of times. They wanted to put DeMar in jail because he had violated the gun law.
That's just like England, where the guy's been robbed three times and shoots one, and then the robber sues him for shooting him in the butt with shotgun pellets.
Absolutely.
And the guy went to prison.
Yes. Walter Martin was the guy's name. They put him in for life. He's now out. He's homeless because the police can't protect him, so he can't go back to his house.
It's unbelievable. They love disarming us. They love us just having to beg the state to save us. When all the state's going to do is jack your water up full of fluoride and give you GMO food. Larry Pratt's our guest, Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org. We'll be right back.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown.
They want you disarmed, dumbed down, and poor.
I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the
last thing they want you to do is be sovereign, independent, and strong.
I got a shotgun, a rifle.
They might have dumbed down a lot of this country, but they haven't gotten us all.
Can survive.
And if we stand up and say no and tell the government we're not their slaves, and speak out and resist,
I can fly with
they are going to lose.
I can catch catfish.
But you got to understand, they own both parties. They're setting up their world government through the banking system right now.
Make our own whiskey and our own smoke, too.
Get involved
too
today.
These old boys,
the Second Amendment is under attack everywhere. We need to gain ground, not lose it.
Good old tomatoes and homemade.
They're brainwashing the children and making ground there, but we're gaining ground.
Can survive.
Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run.
Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women, old boys raised on shotguns.
Let's go back to Larry Pratt. Larry. Continuing with Barack Obama, the hardcore anti-gun commissar.
Well, just to wrap up what we had been talking about before the break, Obama thought that this homeowner who defended his family against a home invader should go to jail. And the legislature said no, and they passed a law which exempted anybody using an illegal gun as long as it had been used in self-defense. And so, finally, Haley DeMar was able to walk free. Another measure that Obama supported was no gun stores within 5 miles of a school. Now, he didn't have that concern about porn shops, just gun stores. And if you get your little high school compass out and draw a circle on a map,
that's everywhere.
It's everywhere, even in rural areas. You know, maybe you'll have a store at the top of Pikes Peak or something, but it's going to be pretty
Gun
apart.
Stores are always near the center of town, and so are the schools.
Well, that's kind of where the people are, and customers for both. So, funny thing that. So, yeah, one of the things that's really chilled me is I've dug into some of the work that Jerome Corsi has done, the journalist that went over to Kenya, wrote a book about Obama called Obama Nation. You say it fast, it comes out abomination. He has, I think, proven beyond any shadow of a doubt, he's got copies of email from Obama's Senate office to the guy, a Marxist Muslim thug who ran for president, was defeated at the end of last year. It comes from the same tribe that Obama's daddy does, the Luo tribe. They're a minority, so it's not too surprising that he lost the election. It kind of has been working that way since independence. And the plan that Obama was in on developing for the whole campaign, he went over to campaign for the guy in 06 on your nickel and on mine. It was a Senate fact-finding trip. Well, actually, it was a campaign trip, and we've got the pictures of the guy campaigning with this guy, Rally Odinga. Odinga, by the way, was educated in East Germany, so his daddy was pretty red too, and he named his oldest son Fidel Castro Odinga. So, you know, just when you start looking at the surface of the thing, you begin to think, I don't think he's like most of us. Well, he's not. He signed a deal with the radical Muslims that if he were to win, he would put the whole country under Sharia law, you know, like honor killing your daughter who doesn't do what you want. That's okay. That would have been imposed on the whole country within a year. And the election plan that Obama developed with Odinga, and again, they've got the correspondence between the Senate office and Odinga campaign, and the correspondence was bootlegged out by defectors from the campaign when they saw what actually happened. In the plan, there was provision that if we lose, like when we lose, we will provoke violence, and they absolutely put those words down, through provoking class war, which actually over there means tribal.
Black on black.
Black on black. The Luo.
It's the same thing like racism here. In fact, I mean, that's how tribalism is. They hate each other even more than any race stuff we've got over here.
It's quite colorblind, but it's hatred all the same, and it's quite lethal because the majority Kikuyu, who are largely Christian, like the Luo or majority Muslim, 1,000 of them were murdered in a pogrom brought about by the Obama Odinga plan.
Now, stay there. And again, folks, this is all documented. We're just covering the facts here. Think about the magnitude. The Obama campaign working on how to stir up violence against Christians. These people are terrorists. His mother, his father, they're all admitted Marxist-Leninists. I mean, we are in a lot of trouble, folks. Larry Pratt, stay with us. Gotten 3 times the Wall Street money of John McCain. Why does he have the big Annenberg foundations, the Rockefeller foundations, funding him? It's mainline history. Big bankers in New York and London funded the communists as a way to consolidate and steal land, murder the middle class, enslave the peasantry. It's now declassified. The U.S. government put Mao into power. That's even on History Channel. And this is also going to destroy for a long time the image of a black president. You know, I mean, do we have a black guy named, you know, David Johnson? No, we don't. You know, why couldn't it be a pro-gun, pro-U.S., pro-national sovereignty, cut the taxes, get us out of NAFTA and GATT, all of which are popular? I mean, McCain would guarantee he'd be winning if he was saying all that right now. But he can't criticize Obama on any of it because he's for all of it. I would love to vote for a black man who was like Ron Paul. But we can't do that. No, the first black guy they give us in the corporate run is somebody they can destroy any minute they want with those emails fomenting violence when they knew they'd lose the election. rioting, killing. All the dirt on him. I mean, this guy is a complete, complete foundation poverty pimp. Continuing with Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America, as we break down the real Barack Obama. Please continue.
Okay, well, before the break, we were talking about the plan that Obama had worked out with this guy, Raila Odinga. Odinga claims to be his cousin, which is at least possible because they're both from the same region, the same tribe. The important thing is that they seem to have not only the same tribal connections, but they're both Marxists, and they both have had at least some exposure to Islam. How much so is perhaps still being debated, but the key thing is they both could have been happy doing the chant that I heard when I was a student, which dates me. This is back in the 60s, that the anti-Western radicals who now control our universities were chanting, ho, 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 Western civs gotta go. Well, they're just about at the point where they can pull off the chant. It's no longer a chant or a bumper sticker. And so you've got a real deeply immersed in hatred of Western civilization sort of guy in Obama working with Ditto in Kenya. And they went all through 07. The campaign unfolded. December election, not surprisingly, because minority party Odinga lost. January and February of this year were the 2 months of horrible violence. Over 1,000 Christians murdered. No Muslims were murdered. There were over 800 churches burned to the ground. One of them had 30 Christians locked inside from the outside that was burned down. And tens of thousands had to flee their homes. Total disruption. Finally, the majority president, Kibaki, who's a Kikuyu of the majority tribe, buckled. And he said, okay, we'll invent, now he didn't quite put it this way, we'll invent a new position in government called prime minister, and it ended up a power-sharing arrangement being worked out. Now, when Corsi went over to get this documentation that a lot of what I'm saying is based on, although you can find on the internet the campaign plan, you can find on the internet from the National Kenyan Association of Evangelicals the agreement that Odinga signed with the Muslim sheikhs to put the country under Islamic law. That, so some of the key points, that we're not making this stuff up. It's out there for anybody to go find and look at, and I've got it all in my files, you can bet you. So they gave this guy the prime ministership and a number of portfolios in the government. When Corsi went over, he was on his way back. He was going to go to a hotel, have a news conference, and expose Odinga for what he was and how he'd been working with Obama. And he was arrested by the immigration police. Well, at that point, I knew, without knowing what portfolios had been given to Odinga, that he controlled those police. And sure enough, about 3 days later, digging some more into this thing, that was one of the portfolios he had been given. So Odinga just grabbed this guy, Corsi, 15 minutes away from a news conference, and detained him for the whole day, and then finally, you know, they ran him out of the country. But he came out with the goods. He probably only got out because he was able, before they realized what he was doing, he was able to text message on his telephone to Joseph Farah at WorldNet Daily. He put it up on his website, which is visited probably almost as much as Drudge. That got Farah onto Fox. It also got him onto CNN International. And at that point, they realized they had a bit of an incident, and that's when they let him go.
All right, let's go over this. We also gave the phone number out right after he got grabbed.
Excellent.
Here on the show to the embassies. But let's break this down here. His mother's an admitted communist. His father's an admitted communist. He's around admitted bombers that bombed police, blew their faces off,
well,
blinded
the man,
them.
And the man in Hawaii that raised him, kind of discipled him, better word, Franklin Marshall Davis, was an open communist. I mean, nobody.
But that's what I mean. There's no one that isn't a commie.
Right.
I mean, people laugh, oh, commie's going to get us. The guy is open. Redistribute the wealth. Exactly what the bankers want, but see, the poor little commies on the ground don't understand.
It's what that, he told that, Joe
that,
the plumber.
That it never gets transferred to you. It always goes to the international bankers.
Yeah, there's a handling fee that's a bit excessive.
Yeah, 98% of it. And then all you get is black uniforms and cameras and checkpoints. And now he's going to have all this left covered. Now, I know there's been election fraud. I know both parties are bought and paid for by the New World Order. The New World Order just plays different sides off against us. But this Barack Obama stuff, who could make it up? All
who
the
could?
Anti-gun stuff and the communism and the bombers and the criminals and the mobsters and the...
See why he wants gun control, because he knows that there will be opposition. And let's go back. You've obviously talked about Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals. This is what the guy taught at the University of Chicago. He represented them as an attorney. He gave them millions of bucks.
Yeah, Saul Alinsky, close buddies with Barack Obama. And folks, you can't make this up. Larry even has a copy of it. Break down. I mean, again, another one of these guys. Tell him.
Well, Alinsky was a communist who saw that it would be more effective, rather than charging the barricades with a couple of flintlocks, better to just take the culture from the top down. This is something that has been very effectively put forth by communists in this century, well, in the 20th century, now 21st century. And so Alinsky wrote these rules for radicals to teach how to lie, how to deceive. He said, stop looking like hippies, dress like I do. He looked like Mr. Peepers, you know, a harmless little guy with his bespectacled face. That way you can infiltrate. When Obama briefly had a job in New York City at a law firm, he described himself as, I felt like I was behind enemy lines. Well, that's right out of Saul Alinsky. Alinsky is lie to get whatever you want, because if you've dedicated your book to Lucifer openly because Lucifer figured out how to lie to get power, then that's exactly what Alinsky's all about.
Well, let me stop you. Let's go back over that. Every time you really study Lenin, or you study Stalin, or you study the East German leaders, or you study the communist here, and I've known them personally, they'll be wearing big red pentagram shirts, they'll be Hail Satan right in front of you, and then laughing, you know, and the communists always call themselves anarchists. They're into deception. They're into layers. But when you get to the core, they will tell you, I worship Lucifer. This is a Luciferian operation, and a bunch of them dedicate their books to it. The Theosophic Society dedicates it
right
to that. I mean, just the public just can't get their mind around it. Explain it to them.
Well, what Alinsky did was to get a bunch of disciples like Bill Ayers, who still is a professor at the University of Chicago in education.
Yeah, let's make this clear. He can blow cops' faces off. They killed people, hundreds of bombings associated with them. And then remember Bill Clinton let a bunch of them go?
You betcha.
With his part. I mean, they're not
the
playing
same gang.
Games, folks. They'll line your family up and gun you down in a minute.
They will, when they have the opportunity. They've been relatively transparent, apparently passive lately, because they, again, rules for radicals. There's another way to do it that's better than getting yourself shot. Wait till you get the guns, and then you do the shooting. And so that's what the game has been, and Ayers saw that if he was part of a cultural revolution from the top down, which is something that was probably first put forth by an Italian communist, Gramsci, in the last century, studied by Hillary Clinton as well as Saul Alinsky, then you get to the point where you fool people into thinking that you're just a, you know, progressive social reformer, and then when it's too late, you got all the levers of power, bang, then you let them have it. That's what's underway. Ayers has been transforming Chicago and national education a la Cuba. The guy is an open communist. He's even on occasion called himself a communist.
And the elite, the big money, is putting it all behind Obama. There's a good chance that they're going to give him full power. I mean, all the experts I've had on, historians, are saying the central government's gearing up for mass purges. Then they just hand the power to Obama and they do it.
It could be an extraordinary shift to dictatorship in this country, because Obama has clearly showed by a lifelong attachment to to either Palestinian terrorists or American terrorists, communist, violent people, and all of them rather exceptionally clever, I would say. Look how far the guy's gotten with really a pretty thin resume.
Yeah, but here's the deal. It doesn't matter what president it is the last 20 years. More power. They're getting rid of Posse Comitatus.
Yep.
The governor, as you know, 3 months ago in Illinois, said we're going to use the National Guard for door-to-door gun confiscation. I mean, it's really happening. And so all these right-wing neocons said, oh, let Bush do whatever he wants. We kept telling them, hey, that power is going to get passed on to the Democrats.
That's,
you know,
right.
That's going to get handed over. Here we go.
The question to ask when our guy, quote unquote, is president is, would you really want that power in Hillary Clinton's or now Barack Obama's hands? And if the answer is, well, that'll never happen, would you want it in those hands? And that's what was never asked. We were just handing power over, and there it went. So, yeah, it's been a bipartisan groundwork preparation for this moment. And if Obama pulls it off, you can. Here's a scenario that bothers me. The polls at the moment are tight. Let's say they're accurate, which may or may not be true. If they were, say the guy loses by a few points, typically, even with Reagan, people would not tell the truth to pollsters. And Reagan, first time out, was supposed to lose by 4 or 5 points, won by 10. What if something like that were to happen in this election? I'll tell you, look to Kenya to find out what's going to happen in January and February in this country.
Because it was the Obama office, senatorial office, advising them on how to do this.
Absolutely. They were aware of the plan. They didn't disavow the plan. No, they concurred with the plan. And this is right out of Saul Alinsky, frankly.
And there's a reverse option here as well. The neocons could use the riots to bring in their own martial law. If it's McCain that wins, I mean, we're between a rock and a hard place here.
We are between a rock and a hard place. The one difference is that the poor Christians, the Kikuyu in Kenya, still carry on the tradition of British disarmament of the people. Well, they're trying to do that here, but they ain't got there yet.
And gun sales are up by 10%. The people are buying guns and ammo till you can't even find them someplace.
I want to tell you, I had a call from she's a conservative, a nice Jewish lady, never wanted a gun. She's retired, living with her husband in a gated community. And she said, I am scared to death if this guy wins. She said, what kind of a gun should I get? I've never had one before.
No, all the liberals I know are finally breaking their conditioning and buying guns. Literally, they finally get it. You can't trust government, whether it's Republican or Democrat. We're in trouble.
Well, it will be a glorious time for a period for the gun stores. Ammo's already been tight before this, and it's going to probably get tighter. And if somebody's concerned as we are, and they don't think they have enough, then I would say this is the time to go shopping. And for sure, after Tuesday, if Obama's the guy, you know what's going to happen.
Massive gun control. And if he loses, rioting. You think there's going to be rioting? The police do. A bunch of articles about that.
They're wisely preparing for it. But, of course, the police were prepared for rioting by the time it hit Washington, D.C. back in the late 60s. And I lived out in the suburbs at that time. And that's when I finally connected dots. I was still in graduate school. And they said on the radio, they were probably a little bit more candid then than they are now, well, we're not sure that we can contain the rioting and it may go out such and such these major arteries. Well, golly, I lived right off of one of those major arteries. And I thought, I don't know much about guns, but I'll bet you a shotgun would be good for a mob coming on my house and my young family. So I went into a gun store. It was before the Gun Control Act. It was actually a sporting store. And I bought a shotgun, no questions asked, no record kept. Can you imagine? It was still relatively, at that point, as far as guns, a free country.
And they used the rioting to crack down on the citizens and try to restrict our Second Amendment.
Those very same riots were used to push through the Gun Control Act of 1968.
Remember the Korean shopkeepers just a few less than a dozen of them held off thousands burning and pillaging when the police stood down. And that's why the Second Amendment's so important.
And those were Uzi semi-automatics with nice, long, nasty-looking magazines. Then, and it was just the intimidation factor of the thugs seeing what was waiting for them. And it was dramatic. The thugs would burn even a building right next to the one the Koreans were guarding, but the ones the Koreans were guarding were unscathed. Imagine.
Well, I tell you, folks come riding through my neighborhood. I'm not, if I point a gun at somebody and pull the trigger, I'm not just going to, you know, shoot in the air. I can't imagine. I mean, it's not going to be.
When you're
HK-91 is going to really give them a problem.
When you're in a self-defense situation, firing a warning shot could be very dangerous to you because that may be the last thing you ever do. They may turn right on you and shoot you. So, you know, if you have a chance to kill the snake, you take the first chance you get.
Well, that's assault with a deadly weapon, running around burning stuff.
It definitely is, and you're in the right state. You've got a very good law for protecting your castle, and if you were to be anywhere on your property when such a scenario might unfold, I don't really think there'd be any questions asked. They know that no jury in Texas would come down.
Well, that's why if things burn, it's going to be in the cities where they've disarmed the public.
Absolutely.
Larry Pratt, fire out the website for folks that want to get involved in the front lines.
Go to gunowners.org. That's where you can sign up for our email alerts and get the Bitter Klinger t-shirt. Probably want to have it after the election.
gunowners.org. Larry, let me get a pop in from you next week. Thanks for spending time with us.
All righty.
Take care. There goes Larry Pratt. Okay, hold on one second. I'm going back on my show. I'm going to tell folks that I'm going to come right back to them here in just a moment. Okay, folks, I'm back on air and I'm simulcasting with Charlie Hodge over at 93.7 KLBJ, the big rock and roll station here in town. He was saying he took a flu shot today. He wants me to scare him. Hodge, what on earth are you doing taking the flu shot? For the last 6 years, they haven't even guessed its mutation the year before when they make the shot. And just Google flu shot increase in Alzheimer's risk. They've got all these studies admitting that if you take three or more flu shots in your life, it massively more than doubles your chance of getting Alzheimer's, pal. What are you doing, Hodge? I mean, you have me on the show, you're a great guy, and then you're telling me you took the flu shot. Now, are you pulling my leg, Hodge, or did you really? Okay, you love free stuff. You're pulling my leg, aren't you, Hodge? Hodge, I don't know what is wrong with you. I've been in there on your morning show so many times, and I do these freedom nuggets, and I'm telling you. Okay, you're sitting at a computer right now. I don't know how much time you have. Google flu shots Alzheimer's, and then read. They still have mercury in them. Look, for 6-plus years, you know they make it the year before and try to guess the flu's mutation. They don't even get it right. It's pointless, and a lot of people get flu-like symptoms from it. You found it. You Googled it. Okay, so you got 20,000 responses to that. 420,000 responses to flu shots Alzheimer's. Go ahead and read it. Hey, listen, that's why we have juvenile onset of Alzheimer's now. We have 15-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds getting it. Just drink more fluoride and take more mercury shots. Everything's fine. All right, Hodge. Well, I appreciate you having me on 93.7 for everybody out there. All right. Well, hey, Hodge, thanks for having me on. Take care. Folks, that gives you an idea of what is going on around here. I had to call for a 4-minute interview or 3-minute interview. He wants longer, but I can't because I'm on air. And then we start running over. So I just went ahead and you didn't get to hear Hodge on the other end. What a character. Oh, man. It's just too insane. I was telling him about all the internet censorship coming down. I do 4 hours of radio, folks, and I do administrative things during the breaks and radio interviews and tell people what news articles I want written and documents and how I want video edits to be done out in the hallway there outside with the video editors buzzing about. I'm not whining. I need a rest here. Oh, man. That's why Bermie, who leaves tomorrow, but he's building his own studio so he can sit in and fill in quite often. Hey, Burmis, get in here, please, sir. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Burmis, I know in between taking care of all your pit bulls, killing neighbors' dogs and things, or I'm sorry, mauling them, that you're too busy to get your studio built. How long until your ISDN studio is built up to specs?
Hopefully I'll be ordering the two things I need on eBay this week, and then it usually takes about 5 to 7 days to get that kind of equipment. So less than 2 weeks. I'm hoping by the next time I come visit you in about 6 weeks, I'll be all ready to go. I mean, I've got the desk. I went and bought the television. I bought the little prompter. I'm ready to go. I mean, I just bought a new camera, too, so I can stream video. I'm stoked.
You're stoked.
I am. I'm very excited. You know I like to do this, Alex. You know, I mean, at least I get to get it off my chest because it is so frustrating every day seeing the stuff in the mainstream media, in the news. Just, I mean, the bailout this year. I mean, you know how hard it was for me?
Hold on, Barmy.
Yeah.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are already into the third hour. Got Richard C. Cook coming up. Got all this news. I want to get to all these audio clips. We're up in New Jersey and Texas and England, all over the place. You'll have a cameraman just out on the street, mainstream news, doing a news report, and the cops just walk over and beat the daylights out of them, and on news cameras go, I can do whatever I want. I mean, the government is just going crazy. And I want to tell the corrupt people like that something. That's right. The corrupt system's told you can do whatever you want. See, there are bigger, more evil, corrupt people above you who are going to do whatever they want to you. You understand that? You get that? You're only allowed to do whatever you want because the system is going into total tyranny. Oh, you don't understand history, but you're going to find out. You're not afraid?
You will be. You will be.
Imagine an interview between Jesse Ventura and Yoda.
Oh.
Listen here, Yoda. Let me tell you something right now. Who would come up with something that stupid?
Oh, boy.
Lucas, maybe. I mean, he's been milking the Star Wars.
And then Salacious Crumb could
oh,
be like
yeah.
that.
Where is Salacious?
You could have a court TV show with Salacious Crumb as the judge.
That'd be pretty cool.
And the bailiff would be Ventura, and the defense attorney would be Yoda.
Maybe they can get those good government scientists to make like a little Salacious Crumb chimera, and that could be his little sidekick. That'd be great, right?
All right, now we've gone completely into just insanity. I'd rather screw around on this show. I can't look at all this. I mean, folks, you think I'm trying to make the government look bad? I can't even go over all this. I don't even want to cover it. I don't even want to talk about all this. I mean, it's just
I mean, the fluoride in the milk. Fluoride in the milk in 40-plus schools in the UK.
By the way, that's actually worldwide. They're putting it in most of the formulas, too. That's just one blurb they reported on out of Sheffield.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a AP story about the FBI paid Fort Dix informant $240,000. Defense says in it to plot attack. It turns out, as usual, the informant went in, created the group, was the commander of it. It's always the FBI commanding the terror groups. And it's always delusional schizophrenic types. And it's always, we'll wear black top hats and white tuxedos and kill hundreds and we'll fly around and be unstoppable and then we'll rule. Then we'll take over the White House and we'll be president. I mean, that's what the Klan group in 98 in Texas was saying, stuff like that. They found just outlandish winos. Where they find those inner-city black kids, a couple of them were mentally retarded on government subsidies. And remember, they were going to destroy everything in Miami and take over everything. And it turned out it was all just provocateur, nothing. They couldn't even basically brush their teeth.
Yeah, they were basically not even going to do it. They were just trying to rip off the FBI agent for his money. They're like, yeah, we're going to do that. And they took his money, and, you know, they had no intention.
Well, that was over a year.
Yeah, yeah, and see, they got exonerated. I think they tried to get him twice, and they couldn't make.
Meanwhile, we have Obama with all these real terrorists around him, and it's like, oh no, oh he's good. McCain's all mobbed up, and Keating Five, and
no, Brzezinski's.
Yesterday was a weird show, wasn't it? Because you had Tarpley on. I was driving around, taking my kids to the park and stuff, listening, and you were on there talking about 1 hour. It's, you know, Obama's total devil, and then the next hour with McGovern, it's he's an angel cake. And
yeah, and I like both guys, but I mean, it was just over the top. I just kept promoting third party. I'm like Chuck Baldwin, Cynthia McKinney, even Ralph Nader. You know, I'm like, those are all better choices than these two. And they're like, no, we have to stop at nothing to stop McCain and the neocons. And no, we have to stop at nothing to stop Obama and the, what was he calling them? The fascists. But I still,
they're all bought and paid for by the same people.
Exactly. Like, one caller finally called in, and he really made the connections between Bush and the CIA in the late 70s, into the drug running in the early 80s while he was vice president, into running them through MENA, Arkansas with the Clintons. That's where they were really recruited and brought in. Then Clinton's president for 8 years, and then Bush, and how it's all controlled at the top. And Tarpley just brushes that off. Oh, no, this is a new group that's coming in. I don't believe that, Alex. It looks like the same group to me.
Listen here, Yoda. Don't try that with me.
He also said, you know, what was interesting to me, that Cheney's going to lose his spot in continuity of government now that he's officially going to be out of the vice presidency. And I was like, well, you know, he was put there in the early 80s with the Reagan administration. You're going to tell me now all of a sudden with 20 plus years of experiments in the shadow government, he's out? He's out totally? Come on.
All right, Burmish, you're going to be in here in 55 minutes for an hour. We'll miss you after you go back up to Pit Bull Land. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We love getting Richard C. Cook on for his unique perspective on what's happening. He's been a consultant for NASA, the White House, a monetary historian. He's also written some books, and we just really enjoy and appreciate him spending time with us to give us his perspective on what's happening. I wanted to get his take on the economy, what's happening in this election, where he sees things going militarily, all the open announcements of internet censorship. In fact, Richard, let's start out of the gates with something I haven't covered with you before. There's a whole array of things they're using to shut down the web, but now in the Western world, they're openly announcing filters over alternative websites. PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com are already banned on the Wi-Fi networks all over Europe and England. Australia is announcing total Chinese-style censorship, where the government only allows basically a few thousand sites through. Microsoft is coming out with new systems to censor on the national level. The establishment is really losing the war for the hearts and minds, and they have to, I guess, be able to move forward with this police state, shut down or control or curtail the web.
Well, that does seem to be what they are trying to do.
Give me your take on it.
Well, what we're seeing here at the end of the Bush administration, I think, are a whole lot of things that are going to be done, and not just in this area, but we've already seen in the economy, the takedown of the financial system. We're now seeing also in the military area, like we saw, for example, that announcement just made by Gates about how the Bush Doctrine was going to be expanded to cover any nation that they deem supplying military aid to anybody they define as a terrorist, including nations, rogue nations.
And so now there's provocative attacks, bombing, attacking villages with ground troops in Syria.
Right. So it seems as though now, at the very end of the Bush administration, they're doing everything possible to present the next president with a fait accompli. With a whole series of things that have been done to clamp down, to bring in this whole repression regime, and it looks as though the Internet is part of it. I'm even getting rumblings from people I know in federal government agencies that they are doing things like this. For example, in the area of environmental surveillance within NASA, I'm being told that NASA is taking steps at the very end of the Bush administration to get rid of environmental scientists they don't like. So the word has gone out from the power structure that the military repression state is going to be implemented. And I think this is what whoever is elected president is going to be handed. And because the president doesn't really give orders anymore, the president takes orders, I do not believe that either of the two candidates is going to be able to do anything about it or is even going to want to do anything.
That's right,
about
Richard
it.
C. Cook. Let's go over the real power structure, the shadow government, which is now public. It claims through the executive dominance over the judicial and legislative. But now the president himself is under COG and under NORTHCOM and under the military-industrial complex system, and governmental power has been handed to the top of the pyramid, the private inner group of international bankers that sit atop that. And so people are like, oh, McCain will save us, Obama will save us. No, they've all signaled they're going to follow continually in the same order, and I want you to comment on that. And then Pentagon advisors... You might back off your phone a bit, Richard.
Okay.
Pentagon advisors warn of coming international crisis. Veteran consultant echoes warning from Biden and Powell. They're all saying massive military crises on the 22nd, 23rd, naming dates, massive financial crises. You know, folks think with the new election they're going to get changed, but they think for the better. No. All the indicators are going into very deep tyranny.
Yes, that is what everything seems to be pointing to. Let me go over to the economic part of it, if I could, for just a minute. Biden has said, and there were these quotes from this meeting he apparently attended and spoke to off the record with some of the top Democratic advisors, that nobody should expect the Obama-Biden administration to come in and launch any kind of a New Deal program that focuses on job creation or income creation for the middle class or for working people, that they can forget about that. And this was repeated in an interview that Robert Rubin gave. And Rubin, of course, has become one of Obama's closest advisors, as has Paul Volcker.
And let me just throw him before I forget, even, I want you to comment on this. Even Senator Dodd said in the New York Times, the banks are hoarding the money. It's going to cause a revolution. None of it's going to the people. We just have to pay for it. And he said it's going to cause a physical revolution. Well, that's why they're moving in with the security apparatus.
Well, the New York Times also had this story where they got information about a private meeting that was held by J.P. Morgan Chase, where J.P. Morgan Chase was telling its managers that we are heading for a deep recession or a depression, both words were used, and that they were going to tighten up on lending. And the reason that J.P. Morgan Chase was out there buying up other banks now, including the use of government bailout funds to do that, as we know, is to protect themselves. And so the banking system is consolidating now under the largest banks, and the largest ones that are now in the field, of course, are Citibank, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Goldman Sachs.
And that's all at the expense of the real economy. So understand, folks, you're not going to get any of it. You're just going to pay for it, and they're openly saying they're going to use police and military to enforce it. I mean, this is the classic third world takeover scenario.
Yes, it is. It's the kind of thing that we've seen in countries like Argentina or Chile, you know, other nations, Greece, when it went into a military dictatorship. We are seeing all that happening. But here's what I want to suggest that people really focus on when we're talking about the economy. And we're talking about the now trillions of dollars that are being fed into the banking system. The key economic indicator that I look at when I've done my analysis is one that people don't ordinarily consider, which is consumer purchasing power. We know that three-quarters of our economy runs off of the consumer economy, consumer purchases. And we know that because we ship so many of our good jobs overseas, which was part of the plan that the banking system came up with a long time ago, wages and salaries in this country for really 15 or 20 years have been stagnant. So the way they compensated for that during the Bush administration was with the housing bubble. It was with the mortgage loans and the home equity loans that were constantly being fed into the system as the price of houses escalated through the inflationary monetary policy of the Federal Reserve during the housing bubble. And then when people sold their homes and moved on to the next one, they got capital gains off of that, and of course the capital gains tax rate was lowered, and so that money was also fed into the producing economy. All of that is gone today. There is a tremendous deficit at the present time of purchasing power within the consuming economy, and now with banks tightening up on credit, they have to tighten up on credit because nobody has enough money anymore to repay their loans. There's an enormous deficit of purchasing power, and what that is going to do is it's going to bring the GDP down to that level. And so we are seeing right now a collapse of the physical economy.
And again, from all their own documents, this has been orchestrated by design. Now they're proposing a trilateral world currency, a world government of and by the bankers. We'll pay our carbon taxes into them. Can you speak to that as a monetary historian?
Well, all of that is happening. There's been talk, and it's all, you know, it's come out of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the think tank that reports to the Trilateral Commission, about creating a multi-currency regime. And, of course, this is where the concept of the Amero came out of. That wasn't just made up by conspiracy theorists. Those were studies done by the Trilateral Commission to create a North American Union with an Amero currency, and then you're going to have the Euro currency in Europe and the dependencies on Europe, particularly in the Middle East. Then you're going to have some kind of an Oriental currency, perhaps the Chinese currency or perhaps the Japanese yen. So the idea is to completely eliminate any possibility of any nation having an independent currency. The countries that have had an independent currency, like, for instance, Iceland, have been attacked. Their currency has been destroyed, and they've been thrown into the arms of the International Monetary Fund. And so, yeah, we are seeing that. We are seeing the world being divided up amongst probably three currencies that are all going to kind of feed into one worldwide monetary authority that is not under any sovereign, and it's not even under the United Nations. You know, I keep asking, where is the United Nations in all this? And the United Nations has pretty much been shunted aside. You never even hear about it anymore in the international arena of trying to keep some kind of international order. So it's all being done now strictly by the banking system and the banking international bankers.
Richard Cook is our guest. Come Obama, come McCain. They're puppets. It's not going to matter, ladies and gentlemen. The bankers took your tax money. They took your future. They took everything. Now they have to put a police state in so you can never bring them to justice and so they can squeeze you even more. I'm going to plug this now before I forget it. It went up last night on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Four different clips. There's even more to come. I'm going to put it up on PrisonPlanet.tv in high quality. On the Bus with Willie. Hell yeah, there's a reason to investigate 9/11. And you can even see in a clip, too, where I'm arguing with Ventura about how many people are awake to 9/11. So there's some sparring going on. Good debate. There's
I'm standing in the middle of life with my pants.
Again, total, I guess, five different parts. There's two new parts on the bus in this. You know, we posted some other stuff yesterday morning, but this was yesterday evening. Really powerful stuff that's up on Infowars.com right now. Public delusion and professional silence. War was a motive. Destroying evidence suppresses the truth. The cover-up conceals the real crime. Those are some of the sub-articles that Aaron Dykes did. Did a wonderful job getting this out so quick. And look, it's an interesting culture. It's fun to get Jesse Ventura and Willie Nelson together and have discussions. You know, I mean, it's an opportunity. We do this for our listeners and viewers, and it gets people talking about 9/11 truth, gets them talking about other issues. That's why we went out and did it, and it was a lot of fun. Going back to Richard C. Cook in this short segment, we're coming back in the next, more time to talk. Richard, studying history, and again, Richard's written for the Washington Post, consulted for NASA, the White House, long bio, you can read it at his website. We've got a link to that up on Infowars.com. But, Richard, how do you see this unfolding? I mean, regardless of who's elected, because this national security apparatus really is unfolding. And they're completely ruthless. I mean, to have the White House say no one's allowed to see what Treasury's doing, it's all blacked out in secret, Congress can't see it, we're just going to take trillions of dollars and do whatever we want, and Congress, if you don't pass the bailout, we're going to have martial law. I mean, that is martial law. I mean, they've done it, and they're just going to squeeze this. And the public's starting to wake up to what's happening. Why do you think, I mean, how bad do you think it'll get, and what do you think about, again, Senator Dodd saying there's going to be a revolution?
Well, Senator Dodd may be saying that in order to divert attention away from what is really going on, because the revolution is taking place, and it's taking place by the banking industry.
That's right.
To knock down all the last remnants of a constitutional system.
That's so, right. They're the illegitimate government. They're the usurpers.
That's correct. So for him to turn around and point at the people as the source of a revolution is just a diversionary tactic, I think, on the part of people like him. Because if you ask who has really approved of all of these things, Congress has approved of every single thing that's happened. They've gotten Congress's rubber stamp for every step they've taken. And it's not that Congress is standing up there warning about what the people are going to do. It's the Congress that has betrayed the people every step of the way, including this last bailout bill, including all of the eavesdropping measures, including continuing to fund the military. I mean, while they were debating the bailout package, Congress passed a $600 billion authorization for defense for fiscal year 2009 on top of a $175 billion supplemental appropriation for the Iraq and the Iran wars. So not only is the banking system getting these trillion-dollar bailouts,
yeah,
the military-industrial complex is getting their own package.
Well, the headline was it was a trillion-dollar defense budget.
Well, it is when you add everything up, when you add the authorization to the supplementals, you're getting $1 trillion in defense.
I mean, they know the currency's going down. They know the country's going down. They engineered it, and they are just sucking everything out. And then now they passed secret police IRS provisions, global carbon tax provisions.
Right.
I mean, they are just going to squeeze the public.
Yeah, and here's something interesting. I put this in my last article. The Defense Authorization Act contains $300 million for a group of people to write articles in Iraq to influence the minds of the Iraqi people to favor the United States. Now, maybe they're going to do that, but $300 million? I mean, what is that money really for? Then you've got this authorization in there for these units to be placed on the back of trucks that are going to shoot microwave radiation as crowd control devices that the Raytheon Corporation is developing. And each of these units costs $5 million. And the article that I read about this said that these were to be used for crowd control in the United States.
And it said it can cause death.
Yeah, it can. Yeah,
that's the new, that's what you get, folks.
Yeah.
You give the banker all your money and then he microwaves you.
So this is what's happening, but I think that what we really should be looking at is the plan that the military obviously has, and obviously Obama is going along with this, to start something in January in the Middle East that could be the big war.
Yeah, let's talk about the catalyst, the crisis coming up. This isn't a joke. This isn't a game. This isn't a drill. military overlay. These are world conquerors, rolling a free nation that they've basically used up. Talk to Richard C. Cook in a moment about that, continuing with him. We're going to open the phones up at 1-800-259-9231. Burmese is going to have open phones next hour. We'll take some this hour, too, and get into the election and the issue that you wish to discuss. So we're going to go back to our guest here in just one moment about what is this catalyst, this crisis that the establishment is all openly discussing. Biden's calling for a new world order. They're all calling for it. If there was any doubt about Barack Obama being New World Order, I know Cook was even leaning towards him a little bit a few months ago. You hear him now saying, no, he signals he's certainly with it. Yeah, it's very serious. We'll go back to Cook in just a minute. Before we do that, we'll tell you about a couple sponsors. One of them is foodshortageusa.com. One word, foodshortageusa.com. Got a link to it up on Infowars.com. Go to foodshortageusa.com to learn how to make your own storable foods for you and your family to prepare for the road ahead. This website reveals a step-by-step way for the average person to get prepared for what's ahead. I think the best part about the system is it gets you off the food grid, even if you don't have a lot of money to spend. The site is foodshortageusa.com. It's never too late to get prepared and get ready. Are we saying this is something's going to bad's going to happen? We're not going to have food? Well, the establishment's saying that. They're hoarding food and saying get ready so they can then pose as saviors. I don't know. I'm just not trusting or counting on the government. I'm going to take care of my family. 877-327-0365 to get more information. Foodshortageusa.com, 877-327-0365. And what goes with that like a horse and carriage is it's very inexpensive, very high-quality freeze-dried and dehydrated foods. It's where I've gotten my storable foods multiple times. It's where I bought storable foods for family. The longest continually operating storable foods company in the U.S., about 28 years, almost 28 now. It's 27 plus. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group with Steve Shank, the owner. 1-800-409-5633 to get a free catalog or free audio CD about what they have to offer. Or go online, watch a bunch of videos showing their food and how it's prepared and the high quality, non-GMO. 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com. You'll never have to stand on the bread line if you have your own bread. And the establishment says they're just going to squeeze us till there's nothing. They're just going to take all the money out of the country, give you none of it, of your own money you're paying for in taxes, and they're just going to nail you completely to the wall and teach you how to love your masters. I mean, well, not me. 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com. You can't miss the giant banners at the top of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And speaking of preparedness, these are really hot right now, and they've got them in supply. A lot of people are sold out. But this is a good company. There's only a few companies out there. We've been using it. We love it. Five different filters. It takes the water right out of the air. And then it goes through an active carbon filter, a silver impregnated carbon filter, then a reverse osmosis system. That right there gives you totally clean water. Then a taste and color removal filter, and is stored in a tank illuminated by an antibacterial, antifungal UV light. I mean, it's like a tanning light. When you open up the top to look in there, it's like, you know, blue light shooting in there. Violet light, ultraviolet. Also, the machine comes in the colors red, black, white, green, silver, blue. Ecolablue.com, E-C-O-L-O, blue.com or 866-585-4044. 866-585-4044. Atmospheric water generator. You can't beat it. Okay, we thank those sponsors for their support in making this show possible. By the way, we turn down hundreds of sponsors. We only take who I test and who I believe in. I endorse those three products you just heard from there. My point is we just don't take any old sponsor. Okay, let's go ahead and go back to Richard C. Cook. Richard, fire out your website first, and then let's get into the big crisis. I mean, why are they being so obvious? I mean, Powell saying the 22nd, the 23rd, it will happen, but I won't tell you what it is. I mean, they love bragging. Of course, he's a knight commander of the Order of Bath under the Queenie, so.
Yeah. Well, my website, www.richardccook.com. Now, my new book is going to be out within the next couple weeks, Alex. Let me tell you where to get that. The book is called We Hold These Truths, The Hope of Monetary Reform. And that's being sold now off my publisher's website. It's Tendril Press, T-E-N-D-R-I-L. They're a small publisher in Colorado, a very good company. And you can go to www.tendrilpress.com and order my new book. My new book is about monetary reform, and it's just, you know, I'm reading the page proofs this week to get the thing ready to go out. And to me, it's just amazing how easy it would be if we really had control of our monetary system to get rid of this debt-based monetary system that the banks run from the top down and that they've been running for decades, really having total control since the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 was passed, just how easy it would be to get rid of this and to begin to run our own monetary system based on the principle I've been talking about, which is that credit really is a public utility, just like water, clean air, or electricity. How easy it would be to capitalize our own financial system within our own country, our own nation, and use it for public purposes for the benefit of the people.
Instead, we've been used to build the New World Order, and now they're destroying us as a black widow spider kills her mate after he's done the deed, or like a female praying mantis eats her mate. I mean, we've been used up, and it's over, and God, I feel sorry for people. We'll have you on when the book comes out, and I want to spend a whole hour on monetary solutions. And the reason you know your solution will work is it's been done many times in other countries. But let's get into the big surprise, the big thing. They can list the date, but and the Pentagon comes out and says, yeah, big surprise. I mean, are they going to sneak attack Russia again? Are they going to start a war in Pakistan? Are they going to stage a terror attack? Are they going to default on their debts worldwide the 23rd? I mean, what intel are you getting, you know, formerly even working for the White House?
This is the amazing thing, that they all seem now to be telegraphing. And I read somewhere that it's in the nature of evil that they will come out and tell you ahead of time what they're going to do, because they get such pleasure out of scaring you half to death with it, that that's one of the tactics they use, is to stampede everybody into feeling and thinking, oh, well, there's nothing we can do about
it. And it's a message that they're omnipresent. It's also a message that they're omnipresent. And for those in the know, it's a message, we did it.
Yeah, that's right. And I've been communicating with people in the Middle East. I had an email exchange recently with an engineer. He is in China now, but he came from Iraq, and he also spent time in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, and he's saying the war is coming. I'm also hearing the same thing from people out of Israel. In fact, I got an email message today from someone who had to leave Israel for his own safety.
But that's why Biden is saying, hey, the people aren't going to like what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And Powell's saying people aren't going to like what Obama's going to do. So this whole time we're worried about Bush doing it.
Right.
But then Obama comes in, and the left is just going to be sucking air. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
The left has been totally co-opted in this by this change business and these pretenses at an economic stimulus. And I pointed out in my last article that the entire program that Obama has put forward as an economic stimulus amounts to $175 per capita within the United States. $175 per person is what Obama is proposing to put into the producing economy in the face of what could be another Great Depression.
Yeah, basically, I mean, to use an analogy, the elite gets $10,000, and the whole U.S. gets $100.
Yeah, that's what's going on. And
Let's go back to my person
from who's been in Israel. He says half the people in Israel are assuming that there will be a war, and that Israel itself is on the chopping block for this, because it's not that Israel any longer is driving policy for the United States. I mean, Israel has 1.5% of the population of that region. They're a drop in the bucket in the Middle East. It's going to be the United States sweeping through the Middle East into Iran, but really it's all just staging the big war that is coming with Russia and with China. And Obama's constantly now beating the war drums with Russia, telling us over and over again how Russia's a rogue nation, Russia's an autocracy. But if you want to know what they're really thinking, there was a paper prepared for the 2008 Bucharest summit of NATO by five NATO generals, including American, French, German, a couple others, which identified the target as China. And China was identified as the target because of the huge amount of dollars that China holds. And there has been speculation that if the United States ever defaults on its debt and leaves China holding the bag, then China itself is going to break ties with the United States. And that seems to be what is setting the stage. And the amazing thing of all of this, I find, Alex, is that if we have a World War III, and it certainly looks as though the United States is preparing for it, along with NATO, this will be a currency war, a war over the failed U.S. dollar. And that's, to me, just remarkable. It's not even over resources. It's over dollars, currency.
But what pretext? Are they going to stage some terror attacks or military events? Were they trying to start that 2 months ago with a sneak attack through the proxy in Georgia on South Ossetia and Abkhazia?
Well, that seemed to be one of the things that was being tried, although Russia put a stop to that real fast. Russia, I think, surprised people. Maybe they didn't surprise everybody, but I think they shocked a lot of people as to just how quickly and how efficiently they were able to put a lid on that whole Georgia business that the president of Georgia kind of wandered into. So that didn't work. Now, I would have to guess that the provocation is going to be somewhere in the Middle East, maybe in the Persian Gulf, because, as you know, we've got an enormous part of the U.S. fleet in there. How easy or difficult would it be to stage an attack there of some kind that would then trigger the whole thing? I mean, these international incidents are not difficult to arrange. And
well, we've had Cheney again just a few months ago. It was reported by MSNBC and others in The New Yorker. Cy Hirsch, who, by the way, we're lining up for the show, openly coming out and saying that Cheney wanted to have Navy SEALs stage an attack on U.S. ships in the Strait of Hormuz. So.
Well, the really interesting thing is how Colin Powell has suddenly appeared on the scene. No one in their right mind would do what he has done of announcing his support for Obama and then within, what, a week, starting to talk about a major incident on the 21st or 22nd of January. No sane person would do that unless it was part of the plan. And, of course, Obama seems to be quite willing to say or do anything at this point.
So this is a provocation.
The script.
This is a provocation. We have continual attacks in Pakistan by U.S. forces.
Right.
We have sneak attacks going into other countries, like Georgia, into Russia, but on the border, but not just there, going in to Syria and putting ground troops on the ground, shooting people.
And listen to what Obama is saying about Afghanistan. He keeps saying over and over again that he wants us to go into Afghanistan to take out Osama bin Laden.
So you think they're going to stage a capture of bin Laden?
Osama bin Laden, according to the sources that are out there, probably hasn't even been alive for the last 5 years.
Or longer.
I mean, he was in deep kidney dialysis failure in 2001. Not only in Saudi Arabia or the UAR, but in Pakistan, where he was treated in a hospital. In fact, he may have been in a hospital in Pakistan on 9/11, getting dialysis.
We know he was in Dubai weeks before and met with the CIA chief.
That's right. So this man has not even been there for years.
So, probably. Bottom line, Richard Cook, what do you see happening?
I see happening an attempt to start a major war in the Middle East through some provocation that's going to take place in January after Obama is inaugurated, or maybe they'll even do what they did with Reagan. You remember when Reagan was inaugurated and suddenly we flipped over to the hostages coming out of Iran?
Yes.
And what a great event that was. Here we had a new president, and now we had hostages appearing mysteriously on the TV the same day. I think it could be something just like that.
And we know they paid them a lot of money and weapons to do that.
Right. That was all staged, and George H.W. Bush was part of that.
And it's admitted it's staged. I mean...
Yeah, so the whole thing is being set up.
Well, let's look at the local in the U.S. and Europe. As they shut down Main Street more and more, and as the public learns that all the money was taken and given to offshore banks, what is the public going to do?
I think the public has no choice but to do anything possible to protect themselves. Now, what is the main liability that we have, that members of the public have? Well, the main liability is debt, is that we're all in debt. Jobs are going to be lost, and people are still going to have to pay, you know, are going to be done to pay their credit card loans. Right now, there's $1 trillion out there in credit card loans, and interest rates on the credit card loans are going up and up. I know people who are being charged 29% now on their credit card payments. So people have got to face the fact that they're deeply in debt, that they need a source of income, that they need the necessities of life, and it's a time when individuals and groups and communities are going to have to come together and to realize that this government isn't going to do anything for anybody right now.
Well, I agree with you. We need to get the word out, and it's already out there partially. This is a completely rogue government.
Yeah.
This is a criminal, military, third world dictatorship type move.
Yes.
Oh, I can't believe this is happening to us, my children,
right.
My family. I mean, I'm freaked out, Richard, and, you know, I'm somewhat of a tough guy. You know, I expect this. I live this. You are a realist. You're, by tough, I mean mentally tough. You're ready for it. But does it not even shake you to your core to realize that we're living what people were living in the mid-1930s in Germany? I mean, we got front row seats of some bad stuff.
Yes, we do.
And folks, if you're not shaken to your core, there's something wrong with you. These people are going to give us no quarter. You know what that means? It's like in a fight and they beat you and you're on the ground, they got a knife to your throat. They're not going to stop. And they pose as our saviors. I mean, they are just committing crime openly. Openly illegitimate.
Sitting in traffic, listening to the radio.
We're going to have Jason Burmish for the last 52 minutes, the 8 after in here. I've got so much work piled up. I literally have to, and I'm glad he's here. He does a great job sitting in. Sad he's leaving town tomorrow back to New York. I want to keep Richard C. Cook 5 minutes of the next hour so I have a chance to talk to Scott, John, Shirley, and Ted, and a few other callers for him, but... You know, Richard, they covertly paid off local police, federalized them. I mean, open bribery, CIA, Delta Force that I discovered in the late 90s. This is a far-reaching military-industrial complex takeover. And I guess it all rests with the police and military not going along with it. But it's so sophisticated. I mean, I'm not claiming I'm smart, but it took me years to even understand it. For people that haven't studied history, they just can't grasp that there are powerful people who want to control and run everything, and they're ruthless, and it looks like they've done it.
That's right, and that's why I've tried in what I've been writing to give the historical roots of this, to show where it came from, because people don't understand that. You know, people just take everything out of context. But I also learned from a friend of mine who was in intelligence, in State Department intelligence, that when the Patriot Acts were passed and the Homeland Security Department was set up, the FBI white-collar crime unit was eliminated. All of the FBI resources were put onto domestic terrorism, if you can believe it.
And that means political commissariat. And for those that don't know, that's now admitted. So they literally took the watchers off themselves. This is white-collar criminals.
That's right.
Taking control of the government.
These were the ones who should have been watching Wall Street. who should have been watching the Security and Exchange Commission, watching the mortgage bubble that no one in the federal government had an eye on. The people who should have been doing that were deliberately removed from that responsibility.
And here's the bad news. Now they're going to redouble it, but they're focusing it on low-level middle class, where
right.
if you dot an I wrong, cross a T wrong, you're going away.
Right, right. That's exactly
God
right.
God help us, man.
Yeah,
these are criminals.
That's what we're seeing. So, you know, we are at a time when every person in this country and probably beyond this country has a choice to make.
Yeah.
You know, do we go along with this or do we somehow make a stand, you know, in our lives, in our responsibilities? And it comes down to that. It comes down to individual decision. And then having said that, people in communities and groups have got to get together. For example, there is no reason why people cannot put together some kind of local currency system or local
barter.
labor exchange system or barter system to at least be able to pool resources on getting through this situation. That's being done in a lot of places in
the
country.
Well, rural folks know how to do that, but people in the cities, they don't even talk to their neighbors. So.
Oh, no, no. People in the cities are atomized, isolated, even though they're packed together. So, but nevertheless, we are human beings. You know, we do have a power of choice.
And survival has a way of making you get up off your butt.
It does. And you know, a lot of dreams are going to have to be deferred. Today, you know, we all have our dreams. We all want this, that, and the other thing, but a lot of those dreams are going to have to just be set on the back burner.
It's got to be put on hold because of the New World Order nightmare.
Yeah, because we're talking survival and we're talking basic human integrity. You know, what do we do in our individual lives?
Instead, they're going to have the cops squeezing us, pushing us, making it as bad as possible.
Right, but as you pointed out, the cops are human beings too, and every cop has to make their own decision about whether where they stand. I mean, Russia went through this. Russia went through this for several decades, and they had a very large prison system. They had the Gulag. We've read Solzhenitsyn's books about it. Those who had a will to live, to be honest, decent people, got through that. We've got to do the same.
Richard Cook, stay with us. 1 minute break as we start the fourth hour. I'm going to come in and jam a few calls in for you. Then Jason Byrne is coming up with your calls as well. Richard C. Cook's our guest, RichardCCook.com. A few more minutes. Scott in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, I haven't paid any federal income taxes for about 11 years. And in that 11 years, I have tried various methods, but more recently in the last few years, I've found something that's actually legal and has kept the IRS off my back. And for a few years, I'm actually helping other people to do the same. So I know it's hard to believe, but it's true and it works. And I'm wondering if you've
got a website, don't you?
Well, there are a couple websites that are available. Yeah, and I'm also wondering if you are interested in the subject, Alex yourself. Beyond just me sharing.
Well, here's the problem. I morally have to look at something before I promote it. And you can get around it. There are about 50 million non-filers. So people think they're getting away from it. It is illegitimate. It does go to pay the debt for the private banks. It is a scam. But I've seen a lot of people claiming they've got this silver bullet or that silver bullet. That just means that the predators haven't gotten to you yet. That's why they're putting in the cashless society to with the thumb scanners and the national sales taxes to track and control you. And so just send me some info on it. I appreciate your call. Richard C. Cook, you want to comment on folks that think they're getting out of paying taxes?
Well, it's a way of hiding out and laying low because there really is no foolproof legal loophole, although a lot of
people... Yeah, it's a rogue government. It doesn't matter if the income tax is unconstitutional. They don't care.
They
have men in black uniforms that eat their guts and ask for seconds.
What I say is that every individual has got to do what they feel best, what they feel they need to do to maintain their personal integrity and their ability to live and survive, and the same for their loved ones.
So absolutely.
Given that as a basis, we all have choices to make.
Yep. John in Canada, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Well, I'm calling basically to talk about like gun control, like what we're facing here in Canada right now, and it seems like it's basically reciprocating itself down the states.
Yeah,
right.
First they register, then they confiscate.
Exactly, and they swore to God up and down that would not happen.
That's right, and they're a pack of lying crooks.
Yeah,
exactly.
They've already done it, of course, in Great Britain very, very effectively. And that is one of the real fears in this country, that people will hold on to their Second Amendment rights.
Yeah, your forefathers are very, very wise when they put that in.
Yes, yes, yeah. I think we all agree.
Anything else,
that.
John?
Well, I'm just saying, like...
Hello?
Yeah, John, we didn't let you go, or somebody's calling you
and
on
everything.
Your phone.
Still there?
Yeah, see what happens is when people call you, it blips out. So somebody's calling. You want to take that call?
Yeah, I will.
All right, I'll see you later. Okay. Take care. Just went on record. Whenever somebody calls, listeners think we're censoring them.
Right.
And that's somebody's call. We'll try to jam one more in. Shirley in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
Hey, it's Sheree, actually. I'm just going to say, I'm seeing all these kids, you know, just on the Prison Planet TV forum and just on the awards.com website. And, you know, I say kids, but really I'm just talking about people who are just getting into college or just in high school, and they're just acting insane. I think it's the drugs that are in the water and the food, but they're acting like Neo from The Matrix, when really they should be learning how to grow their own food and learning how to take care of themselves and learning how to protect themselves with everything that's going on. And I would just recommend to all of them out there that they need to support their local farmers markets and get into a co-op or a 4-H club or something, not be getting online making threats against other people.
Well, you have a morbidity, a degeneracy, not just in the elite but the public, and even those awake, a lot of them, and there's a lot of provocateurs too, it's just total degeneration of society. A lot of the reason we have all this government corruption is we ourselves have become very decadent and corrupt, and I appreciate your call. We're just out of time with Richard C. Cook with Burmese. We'll be taking more calls coming up at 1-800-259-9231. And Richard C. Cook, thanks for spending time with us. We're going to definitely
see
you,
Alex.
You bet. We're definitely going to see some fireworks in the next few months, huh?
Certainly are.
All right. Thank you. Okay. We'll have you on when your new book comes out.
Okay. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
You bet. There he goes. Burmese has got a lot, especially news clips of cops coming up and attacking mainline news reporters and then saying, I can do whatever I want. That's coming up, too. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, folks, we are back live. It is The Alex Jones Show, and I am Jason Burmese doing the last little bit here. And I want to thank Alex Jones for all of his hospitality while I'm here all week, taking me along for that big Willie Nelson, Jesse Ventura trip that you can see right now on Infowars.com, Riding with Willie. Hell yeah, there's a need for a new 9/11 investigation, and that's on the legendary tour bus. Of course, conversations with Ventura and Willie, you know, footage from the backyard. It's just all around great, and they have even more. I mean, I don't think they've put out the Willie on the lawnmower shop, but they will. We're also going to be taking your calls. We've got jammed phones right now. But before we do that, I do want to play this clip of basically a cameraman just trying to report the news for his news station at a protest, and the cop is not happy with the protest, so he asks the cameraman to shut it off, and then it's Arrest Town USA. So let's go to that, John. You got it queued up?
Yep, it's all ready.
All right, let's do it.
In Newark today, a community gathered in an attempt to draw attention to their ongoing fight against senseless violence. It was a peaceful demonstration. That was until the march ended violently, as a Newark police officer put a CBS2 photographer in a chokehold, handcuffed him, and put him in the back of a patrol car. Our Christine Sloan nearly went with him. She has more now from a wild scene.
What started out as a peaceful march in front of a church by parents whose children have been murdered on the streets of Newark.
Put that camera away. Turn the camera off. Put the camera away. Put the camera away. My man, you heard what I just said, man? Now get the camera out of here right now.
You get your hands off my camera.
It turned violent when a Newark police officer arrested our CBS2 photographer covering the story.
Stop!
Put your hands behind your back. No, he's going with me.
You can't arrest
I can do whatever I want.
The camera kept rolling as the officer put our photographer Jim Quartermine in a chokehold, then handcuffed him. Witnesses snapped these pictures.
He went to put the camera down. Before he got the opportunity to, the police officer just came in, knocked it down, put the handcuffs on him, grabbed him by his neck. He was just overly, it was just out of control.
I couldn't believe how they grabbed him and then grabbed you and tried to take your camera.
The officer placed our photographer in a cruiser for almost an hour.
That's stupid, man. We got time for this.
But Councilwoman Mildred Crump, who was there attending church services, pushed for his release and talked to the officer.
I did show him the picture of the your cameraman who was cuffed and in what appeared to be a chokehold. His side of the story is that he had asked him not to do it, and when he persisted, decided that he just wouldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, that's no side of the story at all.
Was not trespassing, shooting the story on public property. The Newark Police Department is not commenting. The officer even threatened to arrest me.
None of your business. Stay away from me right now, or you be sitting in that car.
One of the reasons I said we need to release your cameraman is because you have a constitutional right to videotape.
Wow, the Constitution.
What is going on?
The Newark Police Department says we won't comment until they have looked at all the facts. In the meantime, Councilwoman Crump says she will ask for an investigation. Christine Sloan, CBS 2 News.
Well, it sounds like all the facts are right there. Guy trying to record the news gets put in a chokehold by a police officer because he thinks he's all powerful. He's a big dude. And he won't even... The great thing is, there's a reporter on the scene there, and he's threatening to arrest her, too. Well, I'm glad the councilwoman realizes the guy has a constitutional right to be there. No kidding. Whether he was with the news or not, he had a constitutional right there to be recording what was going on. These are public servants. Let me repeat it. They're not officials. They are public servants. We pay their wages with our taxes, our labor. So if they're public servants and you're on public property and I've got a camera, I can record. Let me talk slower for the police officer. You cannot put me in chokey hold when I record you doing bad things. You know, next time, soon they'll just be, forget about the tasers, the choke holds, the arrest. Soon they're just going to shoot you. It is going to be like pop. And, you know, the neocons will rave about it. Oh, you got an anti-war sign. That pig was wearing an Investigate 9/11 shirt. I'm glad he shot him in the chest. I wish he got him in the head. That'll be the attitude. All right. I said I'd take callers, and I keep my little promises. So let's go to Todd in Texas. Todd, what's on your mind? We got
hey,
you, Todd.
Man, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too.
Hey, you know, the show has been focusing on some really important issues short term. I want to focus on something long term. Have you seen a movie, a documentary called Technocalypse?
No, not yet.
Man, it's crazy. It's a pro-transhumanism movie, and they interview some of the real big movers in it, and these people are scary. They're frightening.
Is Kurzweil in it?
It's called Technocalypse.
No, I know that, but is Kurzweil, Stephen Kurzweil, featured into it? He's one of those big technocrats.
He's in it, man. He's in it.
Of course he is.
It's got the guy, Aubrey de Grey, who just put out an article talking about how we may already be a certain percentage that we may already be within a matrix-like world. Crazy stuff, but anyway, I thought it'd be something that you may want to check out.
And I will.
I want to make a suggestion for a guest along those lines. There's a guy named Francis Fukuyama, and he wrote a book called Our Post-Human Future, and he's very anti-transhuman. He put out an article in Foreign Policy magazine about transhumanism being the most dangerous idea of our time.
It is pretty dangerous.
He was also a member of PNAC.
Oh, PNAC, Project for a New American Century. Oh, how nice. Todd, do me a favor. Take this information and the link to the movie. Go email it to Aaron at Infowars.com. I'll be in New York tomorrow. I'm going to try to pick up Technocalypse and watch it this week. I thank you for the call. All right, let's jump to the next call. Yeah, transhumanism is really scary. The reason I knew that Kurzweil would probably be in that movie is there's a plethora of documentaries and futurist programs out there in the mainstream, really, about these subject matters and how they really promote it. They're promoting the brain chip, the one world consciousness. If you don't believe me, check out PBS. They did one a couple years ago. It's just the whole history of the chip. They had somebody playing Aldous Huxley, who was the basically, he was the negative against it. Aldous is like, oh, this is the brave new world. But they even brought the actor Aldous Huxley around at the end. And he's like, oh, this is a great idea. Brain chips, great. All right, let's jump to Joe and Callie. Joe, what's on your mind? You with me, Joe?
Listen, I wanted to bring up this important question to you. It's an article that's covered in Jones Report and InfoWars.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is this. What do you think would have happened to you if you would have been caught on camera the day before 9/11 saying that our country would be a target of a terrorist attack coming in from a belly of a plane?
Well, I would imagine, if it were me, the FBI would have been at my home. There would have been no call or another intelligence organization, and I probably would have been detained as a suspect and at least interrogated thoroughly. Continue.
That would have probably, I agree with you, that would have happened to me too. But then, let's to take it one step further.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go on and admit on camera that you met as chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee with the head of the Pakistani ISI director, Mahmoud Ahmed,
mm-hmm.
George Tenet, CIA head, Senators Bob Graham and John Kyle.
And let's not forget Porter Goss.
Porter Goss, mm-hmm. Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage, and Secretary of State Colin Powell, confirming that Pakistani intelligence was indeed funding the Taliban.
Well, let's not forget the National Security Council, who was also on that list, and our Vice President-to-be, Joe Biden. But again, continue.
Right. Which, by the way, kudos, you covered that on Fabled Enemies.
Thank you.
Now, then, October 19, 2008, two Sundays ago, fortune teller Joe Biden not only predicted, but promised and guaranteed an international crisis, a generated crisis, which, by the way, Webster's Dictionary says generated, premeditated, designed to bring about, including the Middle East, Russia, a nuclear-capable Pakistan, and, of course, what many experts, including the lady who got assassinated from Pakistan, the former leader.
Bhutto.
Bhutto told on David Frost's interview that Osama, and which would include Osama bin Laden, who's long been dead.
Yeah, she said that he had been assassinated. You know, hold on, let me just stop you there. She actually said he had been assassinated by Omar Saeed Sheikh. Now, Omar Saeed Sheikh is the one that facilitated these wire transfers that you just discussed through the Pakistani ISI chief, General Mahmoud Ahmed. Continue.
Right. And my point is this. If an average American would have made these predictions with such impunity and certainty, then wouldn't an average American be arrested and interrogated for at least suspicion of terrorism?
Yeah, but when you're Joey B., it's not going to happen. I mean, Joey Biden, I thank you for the call. Let me just say that people did kind of, well, not only did the media pick up on it slightly, but Saturday Night Live did this piece this weekend, and I got to give props to Paul, basically one of the guys that does the board here. He showed me this thing, and it's hilarious. I mean, first he talks about how Pakistan will test. There'll be a new test in Pakistan. You think, all right, ha ha ha, very funny. And then it starts getting into revelations, and there will be a man, and it will come, and there will be a disaster, and there will be 100 years of peace. And then they've got somebody playing Mirtha all ridiculous, picking on the Pennsylvanians. So, you know, Joey Biden, CFR member, Council on Foreign Relations, okay, he's been trying to be the president now in the last two elections, hasn't really got a lot of steam, but at the same time, he's a funny, charismatic guy. People do remember him, and he keeps up on the issues. He is well aware of one world government, quote-unquote, the New World Order. He wrote an article back in the, I believe it was the early 90s or late 80s, called How I Learned to Love the New World Order for the Wall Street Journal. Check it out. All right, let's jump to Teresa in Denver. Teresa, what's on your mind?
Hey, how are you?
Great.
Listen, 4 points quickly.
Sure.
First of all, Van Buren, mm-hmm. Martin Van Buren,
mm-hmm.
dying words, there is but one reliance, one trust, is the Mays family, which are the heirs to the largest estate in America, which is out of Colorado, 4-point-some-odd million acres, including all mineral rights, water, gold, et cetera, that was put into an international trust back in the 1840s
mm-hmm.
that still sits, and it only gets passed down to the heirs. I am amazed.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, finance. Worked special ops many years, negotiations, millions, billions, and trillions for stabilization of economies, et cetera, et cetera. On the portfolio issue and the bank.
All right, hold your point. I'm going to let you come back on the other side and finish up. This is the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmes. Check out my latest flick, Flaybilled Enemies. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a huge Metallica fan, and Orion, one of the best instrumentals of all time. Let me say it again, of all time. But we're taking your calls. It's the Alex Jones Show over here. We have Teresa from Denver on the line, and she's talking about the heirs and their international trusts. And you were going through your second point, so please continue, Teresa.
Okay, finance. The bank audit that's happening right now in the world is basically secondary to, you know, they put all these portfolios together and they skim the money off the top and they put every asset known to mankind into these portfolios, and eventually the portfolios turned out to less than zero in the negative arena. So by default, you're going to have a collapse like we have now. This was not planned. This is just, you know, crappy finance.
So you really don't think that it's engineered in any way, shape, or form?
No, it's logic. There's a difference between somebody engineering something and logic.
Yeah, but listen, the top percentile are going to take this just like they took the 20s, and they're going to have more assets than ever and pennies on the dollar. So I've got to disagree with you there, but continue.
In finance, your highest level, I work special ops with the elite in the world in negotiations, millions, billions, and trillions for stabilization of economies. Mm-hmm. Now, the highest level of finance is a trust, which is the old money, everything that everybody's talking about, Illuminati, blah, 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 royal bloodlines, et cetera, et cetera. Down from the trust, the highest level, are debentures, which break up the money by law, international law, the trust. Down from debentures are instruments, our notes, our deeds. Down from instruments are gold, and down from gold is coin, which is currency across the board. Mm-hmm. These five basic concepts of finance in the world, which run our world economies, is unknown to the average Joe, much less the scholar. Okay, so if you put that into perspective, that's where you get finance. It's not some big, you know, conspiracy. It's just pure logic behind the law, just like the law is, you know, don't spit on the street.
All right, Teresa, I see your point, but I got to tell you, I think it's a lot more contrived than that. I think that these guys do engineer these types of things so that they can consolidate power. I don't think it's just a luck system. If that were true, then eventually some of these families would go under.
What is this lady thinks not engineered?
She thinks that the financial crisis, she says she works black ops, and she also thinks that the financial crisis is not...
Oh, because she works black ops, she knows.
Well, she used to work black ops, and she says that it is mistakes.
Business Week, Financial Times, all these experts, they admit they're engineering it. Here's Dodd saying they're hoarding the money right here.
Yeah, there's no new mortgages, and they're just going to take the money from this bailout. They're not going to lend any more out.
Hey, fine. Hey, there's no new world order either. Everything's fine.
All right, let's jump to Fred in Philly. Fred, what's on your mind, my man?
Okay, I don't want to spend a lot of time on Teresa's call, but I'm with you on the... recent crisis. Reason being, the IMF did issue a binding directive to pull in all the central bank's gold, and this was early this year, mm-hmm. spring, I believe, and also in 07 they issued directives to that effect, that they were going to consolidate all the central bank's gold under their ownership.
And now, wait, by you saying consolidate all the central bank's gold, where is it going?
I don't remember the text of it.
Yeah, where is it going, though? I mean, how do you consolidate the central bank's gold?
Like I say, that's something that was in print and electronic media, and I don't remember. I guess you're going to have to take my word for it. I'm pretty reliable on what I had seen as far as their press release and their action.
Well, I got to ask you, what do you think the purpose of that would be to consolidate their gold? Do you think it's maybe to put it out there and then say that there's a shortage so that they'll have to round up the gold of American citizens like they did in the 30s?
I think you could, like I said, I don't have a conclusion. I think it is, if you want to do a show with Bob Chapman on that and specifically talk about it, mm-hmm. I think that could be very fruitful.
Chapman will be coming up soon, actually. We just got in contact with him.
In doing that, we're reliant on the other central banks that are, you know, not IMF, are going to be reliant on other forms of money. Mm-hmm. And I think that then changes the political institutions of those countries.
Well, anytime that you're gonna change the monetary system, it's going to change the political institutions.
So
they have to set up new unions.
I do think that it is basically the crisis was basically a push rather than a pull. You had a creation of credit through central banks, through the Federal Reserve. We know how that ballooned, and that was pushed through channels. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, janitors trying to get a house or something in the inner city, pulling in all of this credit. By the way, more than 80% of the capital in the bubble went to already well-heeled property.
Oh, yeah. People have more than one home, more than one business,
right.
Slumlords. Come on, let's be real. I thank you for the call, Fred. We're going to continue with callers on the other side. Remember, I am a filmmaker. I'm out of town tomorrow, so I got to plug away. Fabled Enemies, Loose Change, Final Cut. Get them, guys. What's the two-pack, $30? Big deal. Hand them out. Make copies. It's Jason Burmes for The Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this. One Metallica tune to the next, huh? This is both off the same album, folks. The best Metallica album of them all, Master of Puppets. God, I love these tunes. Gets me totally jacked up. I'm about to get into the crazy-ass guitar solo. Just like, bump, bump, bump. All right. All right. It's the Alex Jones Show. I am in for Alex the last hour. I just love it, folks. I'm so stoked up to be able to take these guys on, to be able to say what no one else says, to be able to be a bastion of free speech. We do not censor your phone calls here. We do not screen you. I mean, if that's not obvious by the guests we have, I mean, for 2.5 hours yesterday, I had both sides of the spectrum telling me how great and bad Obama was and how great, no, you know, I guess no one said that McCain was great. I guess the person pulling for McCain did say he was the lesser of two evils, but you know, we're taking them all. I mean, I just had a woman tell me that this financial crisis is all a big mistake. Yeah, right. They've only been trying to bring in the North American Union for years. You know, they're only letting, you know, tons of illegals come in to destabilize the economy here. They've only taken most people's 401ks and pension funds. They've only taken all the factory jobs. There's no more benefits out there for people. Remember the good old days? You work 40 hours a week, you come home to your family of three children and a wife, and you could sleep at night with one job. Your wife didn't need one. You had a couple cars still. This is late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s. Then in the 90s, it really started phasing out. Boy, not going to have so many factories here anymore. We're not going to build anything. All of a sudden, now, our money's worth less than the Canadian dollar. Think about it. We're supposed superpower empire of the globe. And for some reason, our neighbors to the north who have nowhere near our military might, nowhere near, you know, our financial capacity, supposedly, and their money's worth more. Well, don't worry. They'll gut our economy a little bit more. They'll bring Mexico's up. And then all suddenly, we'll all three be on parity. And it'll be in our best interest to do what the Securities and Prosperities Partnership Agreement said years ago. Build four superhighways, create a North American Union, and a new currency. That's what they want. All right, let's go to Dan in New York. How you doing, Dan? I hear it's snowing in upstate. I don't know where you're at there, but...
How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing good, man. I heard a little snowstorm, but you might be in the city, so you probably didn't
get
anything.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Hey, that's all right. Good for you.
all right. I just wanted to comment on a few things.
Sure.
I wanted to talk about Teresa's call real quick.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's not planned, haven't they really benefited from it?
If it's not planned, why did they just give them all the money with no one being able to look at the document, to ever review it, or to look at what they do with it?
Of course, it's really contrived. Like buying up all these big businesses and all these corporations. Oh, it's not planned.
No, never.
You know, it's just, you know, bad income.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about who I'm voting for.
Sure.
This is going to sound kind of bad, but I wanted to vote for Bob Barr.
I don't think that's that bad. For those that don't know, Bob Barr is a former conservative Republican congressman.
Very neoconic.
Very neoconic, but First Amendment. He's for the First Amendment. He's also for the Second Amendment. He has done the Alex Jones Show before. He says he's very well aware of the work. I mean, he's never come out for 9/11 truth or anything like that, but he has taken an anti-war stance. The only problem I have with Barr is he's very rigid and not a great speaker. And one could argue that maybe Cynthia McKinney isn't the greatest speaker, but she's much less rigid to me, and she's more charismatic.
Like he voted for for things like the Patriots Act, but he's built his whole campaign off fighting them, really.
Yeah, yeah. No, he has. I've seen the campaign. I mean, you can watch the commercials on YouTube. I'm not going to fault you for that. Hey, man, to me, if you're voting third party and you've gotten around the right-left paradigm and you realize that even though Bob Barr is not going to be become president after the elections in a week, you're doing the right thing. You're trying to break the mold, man. And I hope millions of us out there this year do it. You know how we get this country back? 1 in 10 of us starts voting third party, because it's not even 1 in 10. You know?
Yeah, I would say definitely don't vote for the two main parties. Vote for Ron Paul. I don't even care if you vote for Cynthia McKinney. I don't agree with her on most subjects. But
well, you know, she's a gun grabber. I'm with you there. I mean, you know, I like McKinney, obviously. You know, everybody I've run across, I have problems with some of their positions. You know, there's no perfect candidate out there. And then if I want the perfect candidate, in my mind, I mean, and I'm far from perfect, it's like, well, I better put it on myself to run, and then I'll just get picked apart by everybody. Because Lord knows I'm a human being, you know. None of us are perfect out there, Dan. I thank you for the call. I hope you do go out there. You vote your heart. That's the way to go. Don't vote not to lose or for the lesser of two evils. Vote what you feel is right. God, man. If you're going to vote. I mean, if you're not going to vote, I don't care what you do. Whatever. You know, be slothful, lazy. You know, don't vote. I mean, it's not the worst thing. I mean, is it really going to matter this year? No, other than us putting out numbers and saying, you know, we're sick of the system. That's how it'll matter. The Jesse Ventura shirt that says McCain, Obama, none of the above. None of the above is checked. All right, let's jump to Mike in California. What's up, Mike?
How you doing?
Good, man.
All right, yes, I had a quick question, and and also another question after this one.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who live in urban environments, if they can't get to a rural environment in a martial law type situation, what do you think are some of their best choices?
What are your best choices? Well, I mean, that's a tough. You know, in an urban environment, that is tough. I mean, I often wonder if martial law ever comes to New York City, what the people on Long Island are going to do, because there's no way out other than the city. You know, none. I mean, there's waterways, but you're not going to get very far. I mean, the Navy will be out there quick. Coast Guard, they'll use all their resources. I would say, try to have a plan, man. Try to know where perhaps a local airport is. I know that there's a couple strips. Hey, you think I'm joking? Try to have a helicopter's license, man, and have a friend. I don't know what to tell you. You're not going to be able to jump into the sewers with your family and make your way out of the city. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just not a reality. You know, I mean,
it seems like everyone, you know, a lot of the everyone in the South or southern states like Texas and those type of places, it seems like they have a better handle on that sort of thing than...
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, even Austin, bro, when you come down here, I mean, when I came down here, you can walk into Austin. All right, we're on the outskirts of downtown Austin. You kind of oversee it, but there are plenty of paddy cabs. In other words, there's a ton of bike cabs, and everybody walks around here. Even in a city of a million and more down there, because it's developing and it's big, it's small, it's easy to get. It ain't like being in Manhattan traffic for an hour and a half and getting three blocks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because that is a nightmare just to get to the Lincoln Tunnel or over the George Washington Bridge. I feel you, man. I mean, all I could tell you is, you know what a way might be out? Get yourself a dirt bike or get yourself a motorcycle.
Yeah.
I mean, that
sounds like a great adventure.
Yeah, well, adventure, it might be your only way out, man. I mean, seriously, because I know how it is to get out of New York City. I mean, you could literally be sitting in Manhattan for 1 to 2 hours before you get over that bridge. And then once you hit, like, you know, the Garden State Parkway or something like that, it's easy outs if there's no traffic. If there's a disaster, or it's a weekend or a holiday weekend, you should see the people trying to flood. You could be in that traffic for 3 or 4 hours. So, you know what? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Oh, because when I was younger, mm-hmm. you know, I was in, like, I won't say I was in the riots, but, you know, when you're young, you're driving around, you want to see all this stuff going on, buildings burning up and all that stuff. And
sure.
One of the things that I noticed is that the riots are kind of regulated to, like, the ghetto. Mm-hmm. You know, once you got up beyond that point into nice neighborhood, they had, like certain places blocked off, and then once it reached a certain point, then the National Guard came in, and then they shut off the power.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what everything came to a halt.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. I watched them on TV. I thought they were wild. You know, I hope that never happens in America again. I don't think this needs to be a country for riots unless it's for the right reasons. And, you know, obviously it was messed up what happened to Rodney King, but you don't go and riot in the streets to take, you know, television sets, radios, booze, yeah, money, jewelry. If you're going to riot about something, you riot outside the courthouse and say the system's wrong. Or you go to D.C. and you make your point there. I mean, I wouldn't even say riot. I'd say protest. You said you had another question, Mike?
That was basically it. Just to get your take on that, because you sound like a big city person yourself. I mean, it's interesting that you and Alex have created a bond, and being that he's a, you know, he sounds southern as it gets, and you sound like a city guy.
Yeah, you know, I hang out with a lot of city folks. You know, again, I'm in upstate New York. I'm in a college town. Most of my friends are from Long Island or Queens or the Bronx. I go there once or twice a month. But you know, I'm in the country myself, and I can't imagine actually having to live in the city. I like being in the city, like, maybe once a month for a few days. Even a week is too long for me because it's tough out there. I thank you for the call, Mike. I mean, if you've never really spent an awful lot of time in an urban area, it is so much different in a rural area, and vice versa. You know, some of these, not even city cats, but like people that are from Dutchess County or a few counties up from New York City that are, you know, still 90 minutes from the city, when they see where I live with Amish folks and horse and buggy, they can't even imagine it, man. You mean there's not a shopping mall 5 minutes away from you? Well, no, actually, there's not a shopping. I got to drive an hour to go to a mall. What? Wait, what do you do for fun? Not much. I'm out in a cornfield most of the time. All right. Let's jump to William in Alabama. William, what's on your mind?
All right, hello. The Master of Puppets are pulling the strings.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You said you were a Metallica fan.
Big
right?
time, my friend. I mean, even though the song's about cocaine, who ships it in? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, it's time for an awakening here in America. The bailout didn't help the American public, and only the banks, of whom have thrown the coup on the American public. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yo, let's be real here. This is now going to be not only a restructuring of the economic system when this is all said and done, but it is really going to be a restructuring of the social system here at home, because the banks are now going to be even further regulated by the government. And if you can't pay your mortgage loan, that is going to be government property. Forget about eminent domain. Again, they'll be able to do mass land seizures. And on top of that, they'll be able to set up more bureaucracies so you don't lose your home. So when the economy does go under, they'll give you a choice. They'll be like, well, you can always work for us on the weekends, and maybe we'll give you a full-time gig, and we'll let you keep your house. We'll just take it out of your paycheck every week, your mortgage or your rent or whatever. But, you know, they'll probably still put a clause in there where they own it. So, yeah, this is a huge – I mean, it's not even a silent coup. I can't even call it a silent coup. It's just a bloodless coup. Continue.
You know, I mean, it makes me nervous because it's like we're going into, like, what Zimbabwe is right now. What happens when it eventually happens? I mean, we're all going to be billionaires. Of course, you know, that $1 billion that we have, nothing worth of what it was, say, in 1904 when, you know, what was it, 4 cents on what today's dollar is?
Oh, yeah, something like that. Yeah, no, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, again, it could end up in the 20s where you could have a barrel of greenbacks and it ain't going to make a bit of difference. That's why we have people like Bob Chapman on here. That's why we have Ted Anderson on here. If you have precious metals, they will be worth something somewhere else, even if the economy crashes here. I thank you for the call, William. Let's jump to Chris in Florida. Chris, what's on your mind?
Yes, I think that one of the major reasons to stop drilling oil is that it's lubrication for the planet. There are many studies that if you Google earthquakes, oil drilling, and tsunami, there are many university studies that show that there's a correlation between the oil drilling and the amplitude and severity of earthquakes.
Well, let me stop you there for a second. You know, everybody's always talking about we need to drill. Like, I had McGovern on yesterday, and he kind of ended with his peak oil theory that, you know, we're running out of oil, we got to stop drilling there. And now you're coming here and you're saying, and I am in full agreement with you, I don't think we need to drill for oil at all. There are plenty of alternative methods of energy. Here's the problem. It's never going to happen because they literally have a sick monopoly on the oil fields. Right today, guys, nationally, gas is at a 3-year low at $2.59. Think about that. At $2.60, that's a 3-year low. And as soon as they got their oil fields in Afghanistan and their pipelines through there in Iraq, and their oil in Afghanistan and Iraq, and basically took over the majority of the supply, they're already buddy-buddy with Saudi Arabia, they jack the price up. So how are we ever going to get away from oil? Well, you have to prosecute the criminals at the top, and then you have to take their resources and split them up. You can't let them have these sick monopolies. And only by doing that are we ever going to bring in alternative methods of energy. So, I'm just saying, how are we going to do it? How are we going to stop these cartels who literally have billions and trillions of dollars at their disposal? And I mean, oil, not only is it our gas and we need it for that, but your DVDs are made out of oil. You know, most of our products are made out of oil. It is literally one of the biggest life forces out here. And yes, there all are alternatives, but how do we break the monopoly, Chris?
Well, I didn't say to break the monopoly.
Yeah.
Well, that is part of it, of course, but not directly. Of course, if each of us take a stance in alternative energy, it'd be nice if we were like the German government subsidizing those who decide to invest in renewable, like solar or wind power.
Yeah, well, I would also say let's take it a little bit further. Let's start taking it upon ourselves to bring solar energy to our homes. I mean, there's got to be a small businessman out there that's got a lot of motivation to make a big business out of it, because they don't want you to use solar energy, because solar energy is free after you buy the equipment. You know, the sun's going to be around, folks. It's going to be there. And that's why you haven't seen any of that. And, you know, it's just like, you ever see Who Killed the Electric Car?
Oh, yeah, I did. But I'm saying that we need to make a choice to save the Earth. Stability.
I agree there, man, but let me put it to you this way. Like, we push for the electric car for many, many years. Finally, it gets made, and there's some new models out now. But, like, the initial electric car, they leased it to you. They didn't let you own it. And then when the guy said, well, we want to buy it from the lease, they said no, and they went and grabbed it, and they crushed it. I'm just saying, it is going to be awfully hard to ever break any of these monopolies, especially the oil monopoly. And I see your concerns there with the environmental impact, with tsunamis, like you said, earthquakes, disrupting, you know, the Earth's natural balance by taking this stuff. But these guys aren't worried about the Earth's natural balance, except for when they're, you know, doing their little pagan occult rituals. I thank you for the call, Chris. Let's go to Reese in Texas. Reese, what's poppin'?
Hey, Jason, Alex. I just wanted to thank you guys. It's an opportunity to thank you guys. You saved my life 6 months ago, and I appreciate it. You know, you woke me up.
Awesome, man. How'd you wake up?
Well, actually, it's funny. I saw Zeitgeist 1, and that was enough to kind of tip me over to the other side enough to check out other DVDs, start checking out, you know, the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just there.
So you're from Texas. What part of Texas?
Well, I'm from San Antonio. I just got done living in Austin, actually.
Okay. And what do you do for a living, Reese, if you don't mind?
I'm a student.
So you're a younger guy. You're in college right now?
That's right. Yep. So.
And what was your political position before this? Did you take part in politics at all? Did you lean left? Did you lean right?
Well, I'm still a conservative, but mm-hmm. I was a hardcore neocon. And it was quite a transition, you know.
No, that is quite a transition, man. Well, I would encourage you to go out there and study it even more. There's nothing like knowing your enemy. Obviously, I have a few problems with Zeitgeist. I have big problems with Zeitgeist Addendum. If you didn't catch those radio shows, they're out there. But mm-hmm. I would encourage you to further educate yourself on the intelligence apparatus. I think that Endgame does a great job of that with Alex Jones. You know, Alex, you know, although it's long, it's got a lot of great information, and I would encourage you to check out my film, Fabled Enemies. It'll really show you how these interintelligence networks work to pull off these black ops programs, like how 9/11 was done, not so much the controlled demolition of the World Trade Center and that sort of thing. But keep on keeping on, man. Listen, I guarantee you've still got a bunch of neocon friends. Sit them down. Get them to watch Fabled Enemies. Get them to watch Loose Change, Final Cut. Get them to watch Endgame, 9/11, The Road to Tyranny. We can all make a difference. All right, we're going to keep going through your calls. Thanks for the call. It's the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com. It's all about the love. That's what's in my heart anyway. I know it doesn't seem like it all the time. I can get a little heated up. I can even yell. But it's all about that love train. And let's jump on it, you know? Because if you don't have love in your heart, I don't know if you could take this information and spread it and let people know, because you're going to get ridiculed. You might get screamed at. You know, the History Channel special that I was on aired this week, and I got a couple emails, just straight up hate mail, you know, F-bombs all over the place, you're the worst person in the world, you're a traitor, blah, 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 blah. Now, these are the type of emails that I do respond to. I definitely respond to these emails. And I do so because I just want them to take a look at my information. I'm very polite. I'm like, all right, well, you went off on me. You have no idea who I am. You're acting pretty ignorant. Please watch my stuff. I mean, and then come back and debunk me. And 9 times out of 10, either they never, ever, ever get back at me, or finally they watch it and I get an apology. So, you know, just keep pushing and pushing. That's all I'm saying. And I hope that, Reese, you're a new info warrior, my friend. Continue to push that info war. Google Video is an amazing tool. YouTube is an amazing tool. This program is an amazing tool. PrisonPlanet.tv is one of the best tools out there. You know, they make the I talk about the DivX DVD player all the time. If you spend $60 with the DivX DVD player, you get a USB dongle. You can take your little cruiser, join PrisonPlanet.tv, download all the films, even in WMV format, the Windows Media format, plug it into those DVD players, play them all for your friends. You can have the Alex Jones Weekend if you want, or the Loose Change Final Cut Fabled Enemies Jason Burma Spectacular Weekend, and really wake people up. You know, you don't have to tell them what they're going to be seeing, or you can throw a barbecue or a party and just have it on the background. Put it out there so people can see for a second. Get their interest. All right, let's go through these last callers. We've got about 4 minutes. Let's see if I can jam them all in. Zach and Callie, go for it.
Yeah, Mr. Burmis.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to thank you guys for everything that you've been doing for us. And basically, I just want to see if... Well, I haven't been able to get around on PrisonPlanet.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know if you guys could possibly maybe put like some flyers up that, you know, people could pass around.
Flyers for print you're talking about, so you can get them up there. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'll put the call out right now. We've had graphic artists send us stuff all the time. Aaron at InfoWars is the one to send it. If somebody wants to make an 8.5 by 11, you know, something that's 150 or 300 DPI for all the graphic artists out there like myself that know what we're talking about, to promote InfoWars, we'll post them and you can download them.
Yeah, exactly. That would be perfect. Like, whether maybe if it's on like half a sheet of paper.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do. I mean, we got bumper stickers out the yin yang up here. You could always, I don't know how much they sell them for. I know they come with products. I know I have a ton of Loose Change bumper stickers when I went down to New York City this year. I must have handed out like 400 or 500 of them just so people could stick them everywhere. They are a great tool. Zach, I thank you for the call. Let's jump. Let's go to Spencer in Pennsylvania. Spencer, what's on your mind?
First of all, I know you guys must get this all the time. I just wanted to give you a huge thanks to people like yourself, Alex Jones, and David Icke for being so instrumental in this great awakening that's happening.
He's not laughing at you, caller. I'm in here screwing around the studio.
Continue, man, and I thank you for your kind words.
But my question is this, and I wanted to pose it openly because I feel a lot of listeners are probably frustrated with the same issue. I find that when I'm trying to wake people up, that my closest family are often the hardest to convince.
All right, let me stop you because I hear the music, and I got to agree with you. And, you know, I had comments from my stepfather. You know, Jason, I just don't want to walk in one day and all of a sudden you got a jar full of Eros and formaldehyde. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Everything I've shown you is mainline. I'm not cutting off ears. Listen, what you got to do is you got to sit them down and get them to watch the films. No one reads anymore. When you talk, you're just another windbag, man. I find that. If they're smart enough to listen, they're smart enough to take a DVD. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com.
Yeah, baby, retransmission starts right now at Infowars.com.
Tune in.